Hi.
Welcome to another movie podcast, the show that has a good time stitching a league together for the sole purpose of finding three billboards.
Look, Luke's
worth
face.
It. Worth it. I wrote it for, with him in mind. I am Oscar. With me today is
Ralph
and
Luke.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you excited for that intro I wrote with you in mind?
That was horrible.
It was pretty good. Come on.
That was horrible.
Come on, that's a good time. This is episode number 37. What we are is that we are a show of three friends-ish. Ish is for me, don't worry. That review three new or new-ish films to review on a bi-weekly basis. Simple and to the point. Today's show will consist of those three films. One is Good Time, which is streaming right now on VOD. You can find it, I think, only on VOD at the moment. Not streaming services, but you can buy it there on demand or rent it. And it's by the Safdie brothers. And then we'll continue with our second review with, a lot bigger movie, Justice League. Directed by Joss Whedon, as well as, who's the dude who does all these movies?
Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder, thank you. I almost said Zac Efron. I'm like, that's not right. And we'll conclude our show with a really well-critiqued, reviewed film that we saw recently. Luke and I saw recently. Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. So, where you can find all of our work will be at otherpodcast.com. Check it out for our bonus episodes, marathons, what have yous, that we've ever done. Now, before we continue on to our first review, we're going to do what we've been watching, a little bit of housekeeping as to what we do when we're out of here. So, Ralph, you're going to start us off today. Nice.
Silence your cell phones, children.
I mean, this is only our 50,000th year of podcasting.
I have my phone.
You know what's funny is I just silenced mine because I wasn't.
Every time on vibrate, I am on a 4-day vacation from work. I have not put it on vibrate back
since then.
That's funny.
Sorry.
So, Ralph, you start off with a movie. You saw a movie like from 5 years past?
I already forgot what I saw.
Neighbors.
Yeah, the Neighbors, yeah. Well, Zac Efron.
Exactly what I'm here for.
Yes.
Zefron. Let's call him Zefron.
Sure. And that Rogan character.
So you saw this for the first time?
Yes. Yes, okay. I did. I was kind of whiny. These parents are horrible in the beginning. I mean, they're better towards the end, I guess, but not much.
Seth Rogen and
the Aussie chick.
I feel
chick.
Bad. I don't remember.
Sure, yeah, neither do I. It's okay. Not a big deal. Anyways.
I feel like we remember the two guys in the movie, but not the girl. I feel so fun about it. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
It was fun. It was a fun movie to watch. It was a lot more character development than I thought there was going to be in this. I thought it was just going to be more like antics against each other more than there was. But there was more like, oh, they actually got to know each other, and then they were trying to be friends, but then not. And it was fun. It was a fun movie overall. Nothing too out of hand. A lot of bros, and then a lot of weird penis scenes. But yeah, it was a fun movie.
And the compared to the second, you saw a second, right?
I haven't.
Oh, I thought you have. I mean, I thought we were talking off air about
it. I'm not on the other phone.
So I didn't. I liked the first one more than I thought I would. I'm on the same.
Yeah, that's where I left it. That's where I ended the movie.
The second one is a big downfall. But they tried to do the same thing, really, for me. Sure. That's cool. What's the second thing you saw? You saw a show, a pilot.
Oh yeah, I saw the pilot. Yeah,
isn't it?
I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I saw a show that is now streaming on Hulu as an original. It's called Marvel's Runaways, and I don't know. No, it's not.
Damn it!
I don't know anything about the Runaways, but this show starts off like something happens where this lady gets taken, this girl gets taken into like a cult like thing. She ran away from her parents. She gets taken to this cult like thing, and it's like 6 months later. And you think you're gonna follow her? Nothing about her. We don't give a shit about her in the show. And I was like, oh, good on you guys. And it's about these friends who something happened in the past. They're not friends anymore. And this guy's trying to rekindle the group back together. And then they end up finding out, like, the big deal. It's this weird thing. You're just finding out. A bunch of random stuff is happening. It's just all character story-based driven, but you don't know what's for what. You find out that one of the characters that we're following ends up having abilities. She can get super angry or something, or super strong. She can, like, move things.
Okay. There's superhero stuff. Okay. I was just looking for that.
Something like that. Yeah. It's really weird, though. And then And it ends up being like towards the end that the parents are part of some weird cult thing, like even weirder or alien-like almost. And then the episode ends up where they are running away because they got caught from them watching their parents do some crazy things. And yeah, so it's this weird thing going on. And we're alluding that these guys might have abilities, or these families, or maybe they have something like it. So, but we don't know what, or maybe alien-esque something. It feels like that, or I guess mutant-esque if you want to look at it that way.
Okay.
But yeah, they really didn't put anything much into it. Like, you need to watch the next episode for it.
Okay.
But it was like an hour long. It was like 45 minutes or something.
Most of those shows are, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
There's no half-hour show. Unless it's not, I mean, if it's animated, yeah. But yeah.
It's not animated.
If it isn't, right.
Yeah, no, I just...
It feels like Legion, but Legion's way more, I assume, way different stylistically. But
yeah, yeah,
Legion's
yeah.
the same, like,
this
you
is
know,
a bunch of teenage characters. Okay. These are all high schoolers.
It's so. The least-looking superhero movie about superheroes.
Yeah, this is feeling like it also.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's what it seems like.
So...
And it's on Hulu. I don't know about it until today.
It's an original, yeah. There are three episodes in, and they come out once a week.
Oh, okay.
Hulu does that, yeah.
Right. Didn't he do the Handmaid's Tale thing where they released the first three, and then they're going to release it from there on?
That's how they did it, yeah.
Okay, cool.
They did the first three.
Nice.
Get into it.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
You know? I like that.
Get into it and then come back every week. And while in the meantime, we have another show that you can watch while you're waiting for those shows to come
out. Right, you want to watch...
Yeah.
Fuckface Inc.
Right, exactly. Right.
It's a good show.
Sure.
Cannot think of any other Hulu show.
I can't think of anything. You'll see that.
All right. So that's The Runaways?
Yeah. You're
going to keep watching?
I will watch the first three episodes.
Cool.
Because that's all there
is. That's excellent. All right, cool. So I have three movies. I had like five, but I cut it down. One is Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Okay, that sounds so familiar.
Right? It has been making some headway in the
I don't
movie
know
circles, obviously, not like on Twitter. A former boxer turned drug runner lands in a prison battleground after a deal gets deadly. That's a very light description. And it stars Vince Vaughn, plays this big, bald motherfucker who barely says a word unless he has to. And the movie, the reason I want to see it and the reason it's popular and is making a lot of treadway with critics, including myself, is because it's directed and written by S. Craig Zahler, who did Bone Tomahawk 2 years ago.
Oh, shit. Remember how much we love Bone Tomahawk?
I haven't seen it.
No, I know you haven't seen it. Rob, didn't you see it? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that was like that weird random movie.
We saw it together, right?
No, you came in while I was watching it.
Okay.
You had already seen it.
Yeah, I was like raving about
the movie. Yeah, you were, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
This movie's fucked up. And it explodes with like serious, gory,
yeah.
Like action. Same thing here.
Okay.
And it's Vince Vaughn killing folks.
Really?
Like killing
them.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and... I guess, I mean, the description of the title is kind of like, but it's all a lead up. It's 2 hours of leading to the brawl in the Cell Block 99, even though there is plenty of brawls along the way. It isn't just like Bone Tomahawk, has a lot of dialogue, a lot of setup, a lot of like, take your time with it. But Bone Tomahawk and this one, although I would say Bone Tomahawk a bit more, had increased, like, awesome dialogue. It had some characters to relate to and, you know, get used to before. You know, the crazy insanity ensues. And this one is all carried on Vince Vaughn's shoulders. And I would say it's probably his best movie. I never really liked the guy. Obviously, I like that one, the 90s one, Vegas Baby, what's it called?
Yeah.
What's that movie called?
Rounders.
Not Rounders.
I wanted to see if you would say, yeah.
Not Rounders, bro. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Swingers.
Swingers, thank you. Yeah, we all like them there. I like them in that weird scam movie he did. Yeah, but other than that, not a whole lot for me. But this is awesome. Check it out, guys. It's on rental right now. You can rent it anytime. I think I gave it to you guys, a copy of it, now that I think about it. Next up here, I saw 1922, which is a movie.
That's the one on Netflix, right?
Yes.
Okay. I saw the trailer
for
this.
That's where you were
born. That's correct.
I saw the trailer for this.
What'd you think of it?
And I was like, oh, it seems like a typical. And I was like, it's Stephen King. There's nothing typical about Stephen King. And then like the trailer progresses, and I was like, this fucking movie, of course, it has some weird ass twists and turns.
Well, I hope the trailer didn't reveal too much. I didn't see a trailer.
Yeah.
Because well, I just
Netflix has trailers, that's why.
No, I know. But I never see trailers if I could avoid it. So, a simple yet proud farmer in the year 1922, of course, conspires to murder his wife for financial gain, convincing his teenage son to participate. And that's actually the beginning. The funny thing is that saying they succeed, and succeeding is the first 10 minutes of the movie. It's not like a spoiler. The spoiler is the after effects of that great sin/crime, whatever, that he did and made his son do. And it's a fucked up movie, guys. Anyone afraid of rats?
No. Speaking of rats, I saw a huge motherfucker by my house yesterday.
A real one? Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Singular? No.
Plural?
Plural, yes.
Like, was that movie Willard? Are you afraid of that movie?
Never saw it.
Okay.
I know of it.
Were you afraid of the rats? Luke, you saw it.
I know of it.
Oh of it. I thought you said you saw it. This movie has by the most horrific images of rats I've ever seen. The way they just show them, the way it's haunted this guy, eventually becomes like a haunting of this guy, because obviously rats are going through his wife's body and shit. And it's a horrific movie. Obviously, it's Stephen King. There isn't really – this isn't a spoiler because I don't want people to expect this. There's not really a supernatural element to it other than the psychological turmoil of him and the stuff that's happening.
Okay.
So I just want to say that. And it's really well directed. And it's another Stephen King adapt. This is like the year of Stephen King, of course. It's like the seventh movie come out this year from his work. So
right. It sounds like maybe he just like it's like he got divorced or something. He needed more money because he lost so much money in the divorce.
Damn, that's a very cynical way to look at it.
Yeah,
but no, I don't think so. I think he's still happily married.
No, I'm pretty sure he is. But it's like that, or he's about to do some big endeavor, like gotta expand the mansion or something. You know, Gotta expand the mansion.
Yeah. For
need
sure.
To add another wig.
And this movie also has one of the best uses I've seen of Thomas Jane, who is his main star. Almost unrecognizable in his accent and how dirty he looks all the time. He's a dirty farmer in the whole movie. And he pulls it off really well. You know who Thomas Jane is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You know who it is?
He's a pushover this movie.
He plays the Punisher,
the
first Punisher.
Isn't he a pushover in this movie?
Never saw it.
The Mist?
I thought that was Marky Mark.
No.
That's not him.
No, that's Thomas Jane. What's up?
Isn't he like not a real man? In this movie, like,
what do you mean?
That's like a big thing. That's what I got from the trailer.
Oh.
He's not like your man's man, 1920s man, or whatever. Like,
no, I would say he's more so. He's just not a city guy.
No, I get that, but like, everything that he has is from her. Nothing is his own.
Oh, if that's what you mean,
that's what I mean.
Then because he kills her for her wealth and her land.
Exactly. Yeah. Because
she wants to move to a big city and sell it. And he doesn't want that. That's how it starts. And my last movie here, I saw a movie that I know you guys have never heard of or will never see. It's a Romanian film called Graduation, which I do recommend. It's on Netflix. It is supremely I want to see maybe what you would think, Ralph, but I want to say fathers who are particularly have daughters, especially if they're teenagers, I want to see what they think about this movie. A film about compromises and the implications of the parent's role. That's the worst description of this movie. IMDb, what the fuck? And Christian Mingiu did one of my favorite movies of all time. He did it like in 2007 called 9 weeks, 2 months, and 3 years. I'm not that I remember the name of that type of movie. But don't remember right now anyway. I'm going to find that right now, actually. It's 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days, which is a truly amazing. Like, I love that movie. That movie I can watch any time of the day, even though it's horrifying. This one's also the same, but it's just filled with – it's kind of like an episode of what's a really awkward comedy show that you guys can think of, or a comedy movie that's really awkward. That hint that, like Veep, maybe.
I never seen Veep, but yeah.
Or Always Sunny, maybe. Or Seinfeld,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's like that. It's like a string of those kind of conversations, but without any of the humor. But the whole thing is that all the things surrounding those motivations are super fascinating. For one, this movie describes the way Romania is today and how corrupt it is. Because what happens is that the story is about this father's kid. Who's doing really well on exams. He's going to be like in Oxford and shit. She's going to be like amazing college, right? She's going to be traveling abroad. That's how good her grades are. She gets assaulted across the street from the school. Not sexually assaulted. He has to constantly correct that. It was like almost there. But he was stopped enough. But anyway, she was assaulted. And because of that, she's going to miss an important exam during exam week. And he's like a guy who would never cheat and would actually change the country to stop these corrupted officials from constantly taking advantage of the system.
Okay.
But he is, in the movie, taking advantage of the system in order to get his daughter to finish these exams. And that's really the whole movie. Uh-huh. And in the process, you figure out that he is both a terrible father and maybe a great father, but you don't know where the line really is. And the ending is so fascinating. It has a kind of a punch, twisty ending, which is almost like a comedy punchline, the way it works out. And I recommend it for everyone. It's on Netflix right now. They acquired it from Cannes. Or whatever film festival they got it from. So,
Cannies, yeah.
Cannies.
Dude, I can never understand you when you say con.
Con. Jimmy Con. The Jimmy Cons, if you will.
There you go. That makes more sense.
So that's what I've been watching. Luke, you have one or two?
Yes, I saw some documentaries.
Shocker.
Shocker. Never.
The first one is a, I think, next Netflix exclusive. Just came out on the 21st, called Saving Capitalism. It's a documentary film that follows former Secretary of Labor and Professor Robert Reich as he takes his book and his views to the heart of conservative America to speak about our economic system and present big ideas for how to fix it. Robert Reich was the Secretary of Labor under Clinton, and he...
A lot of people were under Clinton.
Shut up.
You know what I'm saying? Were you going to say that?
No, I was going to say Clinton.
He actually resigned because he's kind of got fed up with how everything was run, and he's pretty much just says like how much like this whole capitalism system is like ruining us and how, you know, corporations are pretty much ruling everything and what laws get made, since now they have the ability to put money into politics, all kinds of stuff. So it's a good watch, and it's getting a pretty decent good score with reviews. A lot of reviewers are digging it too. So
that's cool.
Yeah,
you'd recommend it?
Yes, very much so. The second one is a
no. Where can people find it?
Netflix.
You said Netflix, like
exclusive.
Three times.
I didn't hear the ones
in the beginning.
Go ahead, continue.
God, this is a PBS documentary now that can also be viewed on Netflix.
Are you kidding? If I quiz you right now, you have no idea what I talked about. So continue.
Try me.
No, I'm not gonna
quiz. Let's do a quiz.
Okay.
Quiz.
All right.
Quiz.
So
quiz.
It was in Romania.
The director of Brawl and Cell Block 99 did what other movie?
What?
The director of Brawl and Cell Block 99 did what other famous movie?
Bone, whatever. Tomahawk.
Scalpel. Bone Scalpel. Right. Sorry. Okay. Continue. Sorry.
All right. So this one is called In Defense of Food. And
that's a fragment, right?
No, it's just called In Defense of Food, and just another health documentary, pretty much telling us how much our Western diet is fucking killing us, and how it's spreading all across the other countries, and you know, causing them to get even sicker.
Yep.
Is it fear mongering, or is it more like trying to illuminate?
It's more like education. Like, hey, here's what's going on. Like, you know, X amount of years ago, 1 in 50 people developed diabetes. Today, it's 1 in 3 people develop diabetes.
Is it really 1 in 3?
It's
diabetes. One of the types of diabetes, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But like not the worst
and
one.
And then, yeah. It's still pretty bad.
No, yeah, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm saying.
Hey, you got cancer, but it's the good cancer.
Yeah, like on the left toe cancer.
Right. So, yeah, then it shows like how the like companies were like are shifting tactics. Instead of looking at food as a whole, they'll just be like, hey, look, this thing's got B vitamins now, or it's got this, and people are focused on looking at these small little nutritional factors instead of looking at the food at its entirety.
Forest for the trees.
I have one question. Does this movie, because this is the problem I have with these type of movies, is does this movie give you, like, help you, like, choose other options? Give you, like, tell you where those other options could come from? Or give you more information on how to, like, look for things like that?
The guy has a 7-word maxim that he uses. As he said, eat food, not too much, mostly plants. That's his big thing.
So seven word. I thought it was 7 bullet points. Yeah. What is the best? Is this what we call this educational documentary, or would you call it like maybe let's say food? Food educational documentary. What is the best of those?
Best of what?
Like, you never hear the best of these subdivisioned documentaries that are all over the place. This is Luke. In the 30-plus shows we've done on this one, not to mention the last whole show we did,
yeah.
You've seen a lot of documentaries about just food.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
I'm saying, like,
a lot of the
what's the Citizen Kane of those?
Fed Up, I think, is one of the easiest ones. And then HBO had a really good special a couple years back.
You should have your own marathon.
Called The Weight of the Nation. And that's like a 4-part documentary series. And I think each part is like 90 minutes long.
Shit.
But it tackles like 4 like different parts of like obesity, and especially in America. And that's a really good one.
Cool.
No, I'm just curious. And I think you don't need an HBO account for that. That's just like a free documentary anyone can watch.
Nice. Yeah, they have some of that. It's also for that other documentary show they have with the hardcore one where they travel
Vice?
With people. Yeah, Vice. Yeah. They should have a lot of Vice stuff on YouTube from HBO. Cool. So what's it called again? In defense of food. Food. Got it. So that's what we've been watching. Let's go on with our first review, shall we, guys? With Good Time.
Next.
You're incredible. Do you understand?
shit.
I'm serious. You think I could have done that without you standing next to me being strong? Are you feeling this? Are you feeling the I'm feeling right now?
Yeah, I'm cold.
You cold?
Yeah.
Let's get to Virginia, man.
Just keep your head down.
Turn around. He's all right. We didn't
do it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Get back here.
So I told you about my brother, yeah?
Something happened. I don't know exactly what. He's been arrested. He's being held at Rikers Island.
Love. Oh my God, that's awful. Make
me clean. Just gotta get him out of there before something bad happens. He could get killed in there. The pure is out from
love. Damned always out. You need another 10 grand. You get another 10 grand, your brother will get out. The truth
is out. After a heist goes awry, a bank robber spends a night trying to free his mentally ill brother from being sent to Rikers Island prison. This movie stars mainly Robert Pattinson, Benny Safdie, who plays his brother, I believe, Jennifer Jason Leigh, right? Talia Webster, and Barkhad Abdi, who is I'm the Captain Now guy. Right?
He had like the smallest role probably.
In this one? Oh, yeah. They're all but Robert Pattinson have the smallest role. Jennifer Lynch, Jason Lee, who's having a big comeback in the last 5 years, ever since that Hateful Eight movie. She's, even in this movie, she's like in two scenes, right? And at the beginning, and then you never see her again. So, this is written and directed by, written by different people. Sorry, I didn't want to assume that. Josh Safdie and Ronald Bronstein, but directed by the Safdie brothers, which is Benny and Josh Safdie. Obviously, Benny Safdie plays the mentally ill brother. So these guys are heavily.
I thought that guy was Tom Hardy at first.
The mentally ill brother.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. Why? Really?
I don't know. Same. It felt like
haircut or
I don't know. I'm like, is that like Tom Hardy? I'm like, yeah, he pulled this role off.
I mean, like maybe in his Bronson makeup,
right?
Like when he's beat up from the guards and shit. I can see that. But Good Time is this is their first thrill movie. I've never seen any Safdie Brothers movie. They're kind of like the up-and-coming indie kings of New York movies lately. Over the last 5 years, maybe five plus. They've directed a lot. But I'm saying they've started a bunch of things. But together, they made these projects. It's like their fourth movie. Maybe I'm wrong there. But this is their first one I've seen. I know it's the first one you guys have seen, I assume. But every time I hear them from critics, like from, you know, like New York Times kind of critics, they always talk so highly about them. I always wanted to see one of their movies. I just never have until this one. So, and I heard Robin Pattinson in it, and I heard it's like a thriller. So I'm like, yeah, why not start with this one?
Well, you were Team Edward all the time, so.
I definitely was. Fuck that, Team, Jacob? Is it?
Yeah.
Damn, got it right. Wait, why am I excited? Anyway, Good Time. Complicated movie, yet very simple. I want to say off the bat, totally like this movie a lot. It's insane, and it's all momentary. And I think the direction of this movie, which I hear is the same style as their other movies, so I guess they've perfected it by now, the handheld gliding of the camera kind of style, is lends really well. But I think Robert Pattinson is the true star of this movie, the fact that he can carry the intensity and the energy required from one scene to the next, especially when twists happen not only on the audience but on him, as this horrible night of debauchery and criminality in order to do one good thing based on probably guilt,
right,
than it is a good thing. Right?
Yeah.
It's insane. And I feel like the insanity of this movie carries the whole whatever time, however the runtime is, hour 41.
Yeah.
So, Ralph. What do you think of this movie?
I would say, the movie is basically following Robert Pattinson, so it falls just about solely on his hands if this movie does well or not. And no, I would say it does well. There's a lot of weird things going on in this movie. But it's all a night, which is really cool. It's kind of that one movie
it's
that
part
we
of
saw.
The day and the night and then part of the next day.
Yeah, it's kind of like that one movie we saw that
right, was Training Day.
No. That was actually in those 3 hours or whatever of that one.
Victoria.
Victoria, right?
Yeah, it's kind of
like that.
It's almost exclusively real time, right? It feels like it's
ish. Yeah,
Yeah, there's some parts where they definitely like travel, and there's like.
I think I got more of a running scared thing from it.
Yeah, that's what I pretty much was like.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, that's a good like a term to make people have their headspace on. If you're seeing that movie, you kind of get the feel of this one.
So yeah, it is an interesting thing because it feels like he does a lot of this, and we don't know his motivation behind it. You want to say his motivations are true for him doing all of these things and it's getting his brother out of jail or potentially going to jail, should I say? But at the same time, you feel like it could be the other way also. Like he could have done it for selfish reasons of or just guilty, you know, for being for him, for himself. And that's like three reasons, for his brother.
Three tier reasons. The good one is he's his brother. He wants to save him.
Yeah.
He doesn't belong there. We all know that. He's mentally ill. He shouldn't be there. Two is that he feels guilty for getting his brother caught. For something he clearly convinced him to do.
Right.
And the third one is for selfish reasons, so he won't rat him out, maybe. Right?
Yeah. I guess if you want to look at it that way, yeah.
I thought that throughout the whole movie.
For sure. Yeah. So, and you don't know where he lies, but I don't know where you want to side with it either. And I don't know if it even matters. But at the same time, it was an interesting ride. So, yeah.
Luke?
So, yeah, Robert Pattinson. The guy could kind of act.
Right.
Yeah. No, but yeah, like I said, I got a total running scared vibe. Like, I think this is going to get crazier. You know, I'm like, okay, it's probably peaked. Then they got to the amusement park. And I'm like, what the fuck? Then the acid
spike.
Oh, my God, yeah. And you got the whole other guy's story with Ray.
Right.
And so I'm like, what the fuck?
It's a whole departure.
I know. It's like, stop everything from this movie. Ray.
It's not too much. Right? We're going to have a spoiler session, I guess.
Right. But it's pretty awesome. It definitely kept that like pace going. So like once you get into the movie, you're like, okay, what happens next? Where's it gonna go? And like, what crazy shit's gonna, you know, what roadblock is he gonna encounter next?
Yeah,
that's pretty much the whole thing. And how is he gonna counter it?
So you were into the moment to moment thing.
Yes.
Of like, what's he gonna do next?
Right.
How is he gonna accomplish this?
And once one thing was done, it's like that's it. We passed it. We don't have to go back to it.
Yeah. As much as I'm not like an actor's actor, nor am I an actor teacher type. So I don't have any like. Here's the method he used, whatever he used best or something. But Robin Pattinson, I cannot stress enough how like crazy good he is in this movie. His eyes alone do like half the work, and even up to the very end, which we'll definitely talk about how the last shot works. And it's insane. It's like, and you could tell that this guy with a few different paths down his bringing it up road, you know, when he was, you know, from a kid to now, I would have led him to be a much more successful person in something else, because he is not dumb. The way he reacts and the way he thinks things through in the very moment is a power to behold because of how far he gets in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. I would also say he's very driven. Driven and self-motivated. That's a
like
big thing.
When I would have given up like five terrible cases ago, five terrible things going wrong ago, you know, or it feels like maybe the audience would in general, like, dude, what else can you do? And look, you know, he thought of something else. I didn't think of that. I mean, and some of the shit's heinous. Some of the shit is not as heinous because some of the people that he's around happen to be, you know, kind of criminals of their own sort. But I think the greatest power of this movie is that we're seeing a character that's very much not a hero. I guess an anti-hero would be best, but maybe even a villain. And we're watching this guy, and much like Psycho, like Norman Bates, I mean, when they do the switch to his POV, we're on his side.
Right.
And I feel like the movie does a good job of making us like want him to succeed when we probably know he shouldn't, maybe. Is that how you guys feel about it?
Yeah. You know, you kind of start rooting for the bad guy.
Is it right away for you, or did it take a while?
I think I was right on the bat.
Who's the bad guy for you guys?
Well, no, the main character, Pattinson.
Yeah.
So you see him as a bad guy?
He's a bad guy because obviously he's a criminal, but
yeah, right,
he's got
right.
a good heart.
No, I wouldn't say either. I mean, I'm not, okay. If it gets
I think he's a, in our eyes, and in the eyes of everybody else, that's not him. He's a bad guy, right?
Yeah.
He's a guy who's just a selfish man, if you want to look at him, who's looking out to just to take care of himself and nothing else matters, right? But that's a good way to look at it, I would say. Obviously, knowing more about the person and knowing what his intentions are trying to do, knowing what he's trying to do, I would say, yeah, he's not necessarily too much of a bad guy. He's just it's sad that he has to go through these ways of getting of fixing things, right? Because I don't think he knows any other ways. Like you said, it's just different upbringings and different other things that led him to these situations.
Yeah.
Led him to the situation.
Right. Well, I'm not saying that from the point of view of the world around him. I'm not saying even through... I mean, I think even if I look at him at the best light where he's like trying to rectify a wrong that he did on his blood, on his kin. You know, that's my kin. That's all good and good, noble enough. But like all these things that he does along the way are not good things. None of them are. I really, when the movie was starting and I'm like, oh, this is the plot of the movie. After they get caught or in the running, right? And they... And the cops find them, and there was like that moment where the brother freaked out and ran.
Yeah, he's like, hey, stay still. But
and
nope.
Oh my god, he crashes through that plate glass window. Oh, it's awful. Like, oh yeah. Shit, he's caught. Once I knew that was happening, and that's the plot of the movie, is him getting him out. Like, once that happened, I'm like, okay, this is the plot of the movie. What do I think? I think that everything is shady, and he is burning bridges of he's burning lives along the way.
Yeah.
He fucks innocent people up.
Yeah.
Some of them are not so innocent, but two of them are at least innocent, completely innocent. And their whole world is upturned in a way that they will never fix again, in the same way anyway. And that's on him. You know, so I don't see him as a hero, but it's difficult to say that I'm not on his side because the movie is forcing me to be on his side. And don't get me wrong, I love it that the movie, I'm not saying I'm not, as a complaint, but that's what he is. So... should we get into some spoilers so we can freely talk about the ending and maybe some of the other stuff, the actions he takes and some of these other characters? Or do you guys want to say anything before we get to the spoilers?
No, let's spoil the shit out of it.
Let's spoil it. You ready, Raph? I think he's ready. All right. Spoilers for Good Time starting right now.
Just keep your head now. I'm gonna pull back off. Just don't say anything, all right?
Okay.
Don't look at them. Don't be scared.
All right.
Let me do all the talking.
Hey, fellas, where are we going? Can I talk to you for a minute? First of all, could you take your hoodie off for me?
Wait, what did we do wrong?
No,
hey, you with the black sweatshirt.
Yo, my man, turn around.
He's all right. We didn't do anything.
Whoa, get back here.
All right.
Man, he dyes his hair. Spoiler.
That was quick.
Also, it's Good Time, not Good Times.
I said Good Time.
You said Good Times.
Did I say Good Times?
Right now, yeah.
No, I didn't.
Good Times.
Oscar, did you hear the playback? Oscar did.
Shut up, Oscar.
In the editing. Before we get to the very ending, dude, okay, when they put the entire Sprite bottle down that guy's throat when he was...
Okay, it wasn't the entire bottle.
It was half the bottle. A little bit is all you need.
Yeah.
Bro, a little bit.
He's going to be tripping fucking balls.
He was.
You know,
he will definitely be the captain now.
They arrested him. Yeah, he's
captain of his ass trip.
I am the captain.
It would be funny if he woke up doing that.
That is so bad.
I kind of thought of that a little bit in the back of my head. Poor guy. He's just known for that movie. No, yeah. It's a great performance. He did good here, too.
By the way, I never saw that movie.
You never seen Captain Phillips?
No.
Bro, some feels in that movie.
Yeah.
Right? At the end, right?
Definitely check it out. Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah, I got some.
Adam Shank pulls it off.
Yeah, it's on DVD somewhere.
Just watch it. Okay.
Maybe anyway, on Black Friday.
So there's a lot of side characters that he meets along the way. Let's talk about the top three. We just kind of made fun of one of them already.
Okay. But brother he takes?
Right. Did you see that coming?
No. That was awesome, though.
When he started thrashing? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, dude, he's going to be all fucked up from being a Rikers and being beat up there. And he was, but he wasn't because he was just a regular guy being confused of where he was.
Exactly.
I'm like, when I noticed that it wasn't him, it was an audible gasp for me. Did not see that coming whatsoever.
Didn't see that coming either.
That's fucked up. And then he has to find an opportunity from this. He's like a diamond in the rough of information and potential money. And before he knows it, he's in an amusement park with some... How old was the girl?
16.
She looked younger.
Hold on.
Yeah, she looked...
Hold on.
No.
Air quotes.
She was in 16.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, that's what she told the cops, right?
Yeah, that's what she told Pattinson.
Oh, okay. She's lying.
Yeah, she's probably like 13.
Well, like 14. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say 14, 15 at most. And
like turning 15 that year.
Like, he clearly did not want to... you know, engage in any sexual activity with her. But in order to avoid the news, he would.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of man we're talking about. And these are the moral, like, gray, fucking dark gray areas we're talking about here.
Yeah.
This movie's really intense, guys.
Well, there's moments in the movie, like, when he even gets his foot in the door first to get the help from that lady, right? Like, that's almost like begging, right? That you're like, oh, man, this guy's willing to go as low as that, you know, as to, like, I would have put myself – it would be really hard for me to put myself in that situation. But he's willing to do it because he has no other choice. Or for him, in his mind, it's either his best choice to do it, right, to stay out or whatever the case is. And then he just keeps going further and further. Like, it's like, once you did one thing, why can't I do this next thing? It's almost like that.
How do you think they were onto him at the end at that apartment complex?
I didn't think they were. Did you feel they were onto him at all?
Well, we found out that they were.
Right, exactly. But did you feel that they were onto
him? When they were watching the news?
Huh?
When he sleeps over at that...
Yeah. Well, because they were watching the news, and they had the whole segment on the thing about him.
Right. And they do the whole... They're about to do the drug deal. By the way, very smart, this fucking guy. About the phones, the way he handles phones. Like, no, I'm going to keep this phone for now. Like, in case she called. I was worried that the girl was going to call, and I shouldn't be worried because she should get the fuck out of there. So, yeah. But when she's going to White Castle, I feel like she's going to come back with a cop. When he's going to leave her in the car, he takes the phone. Or there's a point where she's alone with the phone, with her own phone. And I thought she was going to call the cops, or that lady to come by and something shady was going to happen. Like, I was worried about nothing that happens. So she surprisingly defends him, I guess because he showed her some sort of affection that she clearly doesn't get anywhere. And that was enough for her. And she's young and stupid, obviously.
Gotta love girls with father issues.
Right.
It's terrible. You don't snitch, bro.
Right. Maybe it's that.
You don't snitch.
I mean, a lot of people just grow up not trusting kind of cops and authority figures.
No, I mean, that's a big thing. You don't trust anybody,
that's
you
definitely
know?
Definitely true. Yeah. I mean, I don't trust them. But I trust them more than that. But by the end... You know how super smart when he was like befriending the dog from the smell of his like owner's security guard outfit, whatever.
Oh, that was good.
Super smart, and I really thought that he was gonna. I didn't think they were gonna in the amusement park when he was pretending to be the security guard. Like all this works surprisingly well under like the stress of having to do it and you can't fail. Like I feel like this movie's there's no thesis to it. Maybe there is. But in this thrill that we're watching of this one night is that we're watching a guy who, like, can you be that guy? Can you be him in that situation? If you have to be. There is no choice. Gun to your head, you have to pretend to be a security guard. Do it right now. And you don't get caught.
It's hard.
Can you do it?
I don't think I can.
I could probably pull it off.
Well, I feel you can, too.
you look like one now.
He looks like one.
You do. And, well, what about, like, the scene?
I feel like he'd reach into his back pocket and a security guard hat comes out of nowhere. Right.
Well, would you put the moves on this very young girl in order to not get caught?
I would draw the line there. Probably wouldn't, though.
No. Would you put fucking a Sprite bottle of acid into some guy's throat? That's Pat. No. I don't think it was him. It was the other guy, right?
That was the other guy, yeah.
But
it's going to cost him, though. That's a couple.
That was like, how much was that?
A couple hundred dollars
worth
of acid.
$100 at least, yeah.
He's trying to get $10,000 for the first half of the movie, and then he tries to... It's so fucked up. The ending, though, he gets caught. I don't know how they were onto him. Did they say that, or were we supposed to get something from this?
I think
it just came around to him, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like, all the,
I didn't get it.
Well, they
I
figured,
didn't...
like, the brother was there. They probably matched up. Like, the brother was probably involved.
Yeah.
So. No, you're right, you're right.
I didn't get anything else, yeah.
Did the guy snap out of it enough from his, like, haze of acid trip to, like, here's his idea? Oh, shit, he works here.
He's tripping balls for a month.
Yeah, no, he might die. That's OD.
I think he can watch Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and totally get that movie.
Yeah, he probably understood the whole thing. Yeah. This is like a boring movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's a regular old joke. It's a regular old classic movie.
It's a love story. That's all it is.
Yeah.
God.
Let's think about the ending. So he gets caught in that whole, he's putting the cop, a lot of the poster art for this movie is for that last shot, is... What's in his eyes at the end of the movie? And what are we, if anything, are we supposed to get from this movie that isn't just like immediate
reaction? Whose eyes?
Ron Panson.
Okay.
Who, I never even said his name in the movie. Connie.
I don't know.
Determined defeat.
I don't know if we're supposed to get...
Like an oxymoron.
I don't know if we're supposed to get, disappointment from him, like that he failed. In getting everything to his brother, or relief a little bit of relief.
I think I got a little bit of that.
I think I got a little bit of relief,
I would
too.
Say relief is one of my words.
Because it felt like I just, I'm tired.
Like, yeah. I'm like, good, tired. I can get, like, go to sleep now. I can get to a cell and go to sleep. Yeah.
And I think, like, even as a viewer, because it's like an hour 40 of just, like, nonstop, like, shit, you're kind of just relieved, too. You're like, okay, it's over.
Yeah. Well, sort of, because that one guy falls.
Right.
That's a cool bug. Like,
oh, my God.
Ray hit that pavement pretty hard. Oh,
bro, I'm glad I didn't show it.
I kind of wanted them to, but I'm like.
Well, he was a dick. But like, he was just a drunk asshole who was trying to defend him. And that whole story about him and his flashback, which I guess is just, I mean, it's good. It's just like setting up an antagonist, possibly.
I actually like that scene a lot.
I liked it too. I don't know why, but I liked the scene. I don't know why it works the way.
I felt like we're in Pattinson's head at this moment, because he's like, shut up and let me think.
He's like thinking.
And the guy's still talking. And because he's talking and he's giving him his story or whatever, and he doesn't know what to do, it's like it's going through his head. Like, you're seeing, like,
he's
everything.
Filtering and processing.
He's filtering and processing. Yeah, you're seeing everything that's happening to him. You're like, because I'm listening to him, right? And then he let me think of other things, you know, at the same time. So I don't know. That's cool.
No, I get it. And also, like, if he maybe the full great thing about this movie is it's all POV of him, and we get to see this weird flashback. We're not seeing a flashback. We're seeing probably his interpretation of what happened.
Right.
And it's super interesting. And obviously, he got the detail he wanted to get out of there. Which makes the third act as it is. They were going to kill him, right? The gangsters, right?
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we think he would have done it. The cops weren't there. What was he going to do? Was he going to stay in the room, or was he going to leave? No, he's leaving.
He was leaving.
He was on his way out. That's right. I wonder what the plan would have been after that. I mean, what do you go from there, right, as far as getting this money?
Yeah.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, I didn't even talk about her at all, and she's at the beginning of the movie. Well, that whole thing, the first stabbing of, like, oh, man, no, you're not doing that, are you, is her trying to use her mom's credit card to pay for this thing, and it's going through, but it's not going through. He's hassling the guy to get information on the judge, get him out, and he's in a loony bin already, or not a loony bin.
A hospital.
Hospital. And because we saw the previous scene that he gets beat up there. Obviously, he's not supposed to be there. It's all a mixture of fucked up and super awkward, and like the amount of bridges you're willing to burn for. Obviously, it seems that Jennifer Jason Leigh's character clearly is fucked up herself, kind of like she's just codependent on this guy, seemingly.
Yeah.
From the little bit we got. But it's crazy. Anything else you want to highlight, like the score? I really like the score of this movie.
What do you guys think of the very end?
Well, I always had my thoughts on that.
Like, the very end. There was about the brother. Very end. The brother.
When the credits start rolling.
Oh, everything, sure. Everything just is about the brother.
Yeah, you're right.
Where he's in his class and everything like that.
Right. So. I liked it.
What did you think that meant for the movie, though? What do you think that means? That's where I'm getting at, I guess.
I think it's kind of like, I was about to spoil another movie. I shouldn't spoil. It's a good thing I didn't. It feels like he should have just, he could have done nothing, and his brother was still made turn out okay, maybe, because of the way he finally started participating in this activity, and it's his first day there. My first thought was that we're going to get more glimpses into his past with his brother by the questions that the lady was asking. Like, who here has been arrested? Like, if she says that.
Right. Who here's robbed the bank?
Who's here robbed the bank with her brother at broad daylight? Very specific. Who's here made an hour 41 movie with... Okay, no. Something like that, though. Something vague enough where we can glean some information that he may not understand. And I thought that would have been cool, but we didn't really get that. It was just very generalization stuff, like, you know, who's been to Disneyland or whatever.
Yeah.
But I liked it, how his eventual participation kind of let me, or the audience, to believe that he is going to be okay.
Well, I think it's...
I felt like first, like, you know, Connie was kind of controlling him. Not controlling, but like... Maybe manipulation, and now he's gonna be his own person, like make his own thing.
That's better.
Kind of come out of his shell.
Yeah, well, sure. I thought it was coming full circle to where the beginning of the movie was, because the beginning of the movie is like he's very reluctant to be in that scenario, right? He's being asked questions. Right. I was thinking it's his first time going to this doctor, also, right, or something like it.
Right. That's right. That's right.
And he's being asked questions that he clearly doesn't want to answer, and he feels almost belittled because the guy even sheds a tear in the beginning of the movie. And you kind of catch this weird tear that comes down, but the doctor doesn't see it, and you're like, this is really weird. Like, you know, he obviously doesn't want to be here. And at the same time, you could tell that his brother's always a guy, always kind of been that guy who's probably been around there for him, but was not trusting anybody and not trusting that this is going to be something good for him, right? And letting this progress would progress him as brother as Luke said, right, help him become more independent for himself and, you know, start growing in his mind. Like, he never got that chance because his brother never got to see it, because his brother was always taking care of himself first and trying to include himself, his brother. And then it comes back full circle where if we had left him, he'd already be progressing like he is now.
That's good.
So
I like that. I didn't think of that far. Do we think that was his name again? Connie. Do we think Connie's heist in the beginning of the movie, is that his first heist?
No.
I mean, definitely his first heist with his brother, but...
Yeah, but not... Maybe
not. You think he was already in a desperate situation and led him to that point, and then just multiplied by 1,000?
I think he's done something similar enough.
I mean, he definitely knew his way around the underworld, so to speak. Like, he knows how things work, you know?
Yeah,
so.
He's been around the block a couple times.
I'm not saying he's not nothing. I'm not saying he doesn't know anything. He's not from the streets. He clearly is all that. But I'm just asking, I guess, if we believe this is his first heist. I mean, he is not a dumb individual. Obviously, he's stupid to think if he can get away with it at some point. But he's not that dumb either, right? So it's just an interesting question. I think I kind of mentioned earlier, I love the score of this movie. Feels like it's right in there. It feels like a wave of sensory, I don't know, exhilaration sometimes. The way the music was playing, I don't know what to describe it. It's not techno, right?
I don't know how to describe it either. Yeah.
Do you remember it?
I just saw it today.
Oh, well, I saw it last week. Okay. Yeah. But anything else you want to mention in this movie? I want to mention the score.
No. I wanted to make sure we talked about the end, like the very end.
That's it. I feel like this is Pence's best work. I mean, Last City of Z this year, he was smaller in that movie, but also
I think he knocked it out of the park with that role.
Very
also.
Good. Yeah. Very good. Any last words, Luke? We recommend it, by the way?
Check it out.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. It's an interesting movie for sure to watch, yeah.
Yeah, as much as I loved it, I probably wouldn't see it again. I feel like I got...
Yeah, I don't need to rewatch it either.
Maybe it was someone, but...
Yeah.
All right. Cool, so that's good time. That is our first review. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we shall review a much more, but yes, less, much, well, much more expensive, but less exciting action movie called Justice League, that little old chestnut movie that's everywhere. Stay with us.
The world remains in mourning after the death of Superman. Violence, acts of war, and terrorism are all on the rise.
I had a dream. It was the end of the world.
Invasion.
I think it's something more. Something darker.
Fueled by his restored faith in humanity and inspired by Superman's selfless act, Bruce Wayne enlists newly found ally, Diana Prince, to face an even greater threat. Together, Batman and Wonder Woman work quickly to recruit a team to stand against this newly awakened enemy.
Enemy.
Can we just say they only recruit one person?
Two, technically.
The other person just joins them there.
So they recruit Flash.
Well, and Aquaman.
Not really.
No, Aquaman kind of came after that whole, after they stole the box.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah. And then Cyborg just did his own thing.
Right, Cyborg just came on his own volition after hacking everything.
And then, I mean, I guess they resurrected.
Is this spoilers?
Yeah, might as well.
Okay. No, it's not.
It's not.
They're on the poster.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know they get the band back together.
Right.
Justice League. Wow, look, so you picked it. Obviously, you're a fan of superhero movies. If anything, this and biopics and documentaries, top three genres, would you say? Right? Come on. That's not
possible.
That's not unfair to say. That's fair, right?
Maybe.
Not maybe. Come on.
Maybe.
You don't have to dig deep for that one. Anyway, it's a genre you like. You chose it.
I just chose it so we could have something.
I was literally going to skip this movie if you weren't.
And that's why I chose it. So you'd have to sit down and watch it.
I mean, if you did it to spite, then you're not going to live a very happy life.
I am very happy.
No, you're not. In the long run, I won't
smile
be.
Smile on my face is otherwise.
Yeah, that's a forced smile. What did you think of this movie?
I thought it was a step up from Batman versus Superman, but it was still
I think
kind
it's
of
Batman
a
v
letdown.
Superman.
Still much of a letdown. Better movie, but still mediocre.
Mediocre? Would you consider the Batman v Superman mediocre?
I consider that a seeming pile of dog shit now.
Okay, interesting. Wow. I'm just kidding. What'd you think? ending.
I don't know if I wanted a longer movie to explain more of two characters that I want to know more about, or if I wanted a more backstory-driven movie, same length, right, or lengthish, and then maybe lead up to the fight scene, and then just kind of do its own thing. Yeah, but I don't know what I wanted. I think they could have cut out a lot of stuff, honestly, if they wanted to streamline more things. But I felt like certain characters were just kind of like, oh, they're there. You should know that, you know, Aquaman does this.
Kind of like Suicide Squad. It's like, hey, here's all these people. Just deal with
it. They do a quick intro for all the people. They do kind of the same thing here. Like, we know Superman, we know Batman, we know Wonder Woman. Don't have to do shit about them.
Right.
Right? Flash gets enough to where he's still learning his abilities and everything's happening through, you know, the movie, right?
Yeah.
Aquaman and Cyborg. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's my biggest problem. Specifically, I would say Cyborg. Aquaman's a little bit more self-explanatory. But they just kind of mention it in, like, a one-liner. Like, if it's like, oh, I invented the anti-grav thing and, you know, whatever, in space, if you weren't paying attention, you're just like, oh, yeah. Like, okay, it's gone.
I hear you.
Other than that, I didn't have a problem with the movie. I thought the villain was a way better villain than Wonder Woman. So, actually worked for me this time, unlike in Wonder Woman.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you like the villain?
Hell no.
I'm going to go with that. I am a big hell no. Hell no.
I just thought it was a better villain than what Wonder Woman's was.
Oh, yeah.
And then it worked better than whatever. And then it's also leading up to something. So.
I see your point. But
don't get me wrong. It's not a great villain.
Right. I have to get neither, I think.
Sure, right. Yeah. But if I'm picking between two.
Yeah, well, I think that problem we have with the third act of the thing is because we see the villain finally, and it's
The cool thing is in this movie is that it's progressively throughout the movie.
Right, but he's progressively a letdown also. Like, he's always a letdown.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So my problem is everything you guys said plus the following. So I have a lot of problems with this movie.
Well, to piggyback on Ralph, I do think it was a little short, and it did skip a lot, and I think maybe that's going to be like a director's cut might be coming out. It's going to be like four hours long.
Did you guys hear about why? Did you guys hear about why this movie is only 2 hours?
No,
apparently, and director's cut. No, the one executive at WB or DC, one of the
who gives a fuck, yeah.
executives, people with the money, was just sick and tired of these 3 hour movies. So he's like, said the next one's 2 hours. It has to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he like demanded it or something like that. Something like that. That's what I heard. I'm not saying it's true. I wasn't in the room, but. Be funny. That's the reason, though. It's good, though. Pithier was good. I think it was a mercy.
Oh, he had a name?
It was a mercy. Yes, it was a mercy that it was that it ended when it did. Like, I was like, I was just done with the movie before it was done with me. There are like one or two or three good things that I'll talk about it for sure that are essential to it, I guess.
Yeah.
But entertainment value was, which is its highest thing, is not that good in my opinion. It I don't want to compare it to Marvel all day either, but it just looks like it's trying to do Marvel and it's failing every moment of it. It just looks like it is. So not just because it comes second to Avengers, two Avengers by the way, movies, yeah. but just because like we've seen the setup a trillion times in 17 Marvel movies as opposed to their five or six, right? So it's just not good.
Like 14 really good Marvel movies.
Yeah, like 14 of them are really good.
Really good.
Two of them are clunkers, you know. Like,
right. Really good. Exactly. Track.
What, like 17 Marvel movies, we said?
Yeah, you said it last time.
And, yes, I think one of the Hulks is a clunker.
Right.
One of the Thors is a clunker.
Yeah.
Both of the Thors are the clunkers, yeah.
Yeah, well, Thor 2 more than the Thor 1. Thor 1's still entertaining.
Thor 1 was awesome.
I finished the movie, I guess.
Well, I didn't say awesome.
Yeah. No.
See, we're already comparing it to Marvel. I don't want to do that. But right. I want to say that this movie...
Iron Man.
In the grand scheme of DCU movies, it is definitely on the upper echelon, for sure. Upper half.
Yeah,
it's probably,
that's not true.
It's probably number two after Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
That's probably, but that's still a very bad thing to say. Because it's a movie, I will not watch it again. The only movie I will rewatch is Wonder Woman. And like with joy, I mean. I can't even defend this movie in a lot of ways. I think the action is very clunky. I don't think it makes much sense. I think they some of the stuff they do to show cool things about the powers, let's say, of the Flash, they retroactively take it back by doing the same camera or like you know, like digital technique to like Batman doing it. I'm like, why? It feels like it, and he's stumbling all the time. Like, I don't understand what they're doing when they're doing it.
Yeah.
And the movie looks awful. It looks It's not dark to like emo cool dark or anything like that. It's emo. It's just dirty dark.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Zack Snyder needs a new color palette.
Yeah, I don't understand
it. I just feel like Zack Snyder feels he's stuck in Gotham all the time.
Right,
and the world is Gotham.
Right,
and that's what it does. It does feel like the world is Gotham.
Honestly,
and the only two times in the movie that we feel like the world isn't in Gotham is at the Kent farmhouse, right? And then at Superman Memorial.
Right,
the only two times.
Right,
I mean, it kind of looks different in that, like.
No, I'm talking about
Russian place.
I'm talking about they're bright colors.
Yeah,
yeah, and yeah, like you feel like sunshine.
Exactly. You feel like there's vibrant cities,
and you know that
people
like,
live.
One of the things that DC has had over a Marvel thing, and it tries to take itself more seriously. It's just that it's failed at its interpretations of serious. Whereas Marvel has succeeded in its entertainment, its value of being funny and entertaining. Like, I know that they're trying not to be as funny and they're trying to be more serious about this Galactus shit, but it's just not coming off very good. And the thing is that we can't relate to any of these people. And Bruce Wayne, who's the only human, right? A fascist human, but he has a power. So those two are the most relatable characters. They're not that relatable. Except for the Flash, I would say maybe, but like Bruce Wayne, Ben Affleck's doing fine, but it's just the way they're portraying him. I never liked how late in his life they're portraying him now. It feels like it's he's just set up for one more movie and he's gonna die because he's almost dead in this one. Like, I don't know.
I think Ben Affleck wants to get the fuck out of there too.
Oh really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe that was intentional. Maybe he asked for a 3-movie contract, and that's it.
Well, I mean, I think he even said in the movie that he's been doing this for, like, already 20 years.
Yeah, yeah, he's been there for a while, yeah,
so
for
he's
sure.
Pretty old Batman. Batman Beyond.
I mean, Alfred is, like, trying to get him a date. Yeah. It felt like Lego Batman movie.
Alfred is...
This is the best Alfred,
wingman.
Though.
The best
this
wingman.
Is the best Alfred, though. Yes, I really like Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
Well, he's the best wingman, for sure.
He's trying. He's giving it
for sure.
Yeah, and some of them are subtle, some of them not so subtle.
Right, exactly. Like some of them, this like guy's trying. You cannot go and be like, bro, where were you? No, I was there.
It's like, did you get your dick wet, or shall I prepare the moist rag again?
Yeah, moist rag. Wow.
Shall I prepare the royal fleshlight?
Oh, that's terrible. That's just like the nutshell, and this movie is supposed to excel in some of those things, and it's not doing it. And it's
supposed to be the Avengers of DC, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. And it's not. And it looks like they're doing well. We'll talk about the Stinger later, I guess.
Sure.
But yeah, so that's just some of the problems. Any other generalizations you want to talk about, like some of the acting or some of anything complaints or compliments about the look of the movie? Maybe some people love that shit. I mean, I just don't.
Well, I don't know. I kind of wanted to punch the Flash in the face.
Okay.
He overdid it for me. Just, okay, yeah, you're...
What, too antsy?
Yeah, just...
Okay.
Just shut the fuck up, dude.
Okay.
Get your shit together.
But that's who he's supposed to be.
Yeah, no, I bought
yeah,
it. I bought him.
Like,
I bought the Flash over everybody else.
Barry Allen? Yeah, I bought him as Barry Allen, I mean.
Yeah, I bought Barry, for sure.
Do you guys like the electricity going everywhere?
Speed Force thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. It makes more sense if you don't show him in what's it called?
Mm-hmm.
In slow motion all the time?
Yeah.
But because that's the whole purpose of you having electricity, I would feel like.
Right.
You get to show a scene in normal time, have the Flash everywhere, and you see him zooming by.
Yeah.
That's like a cool
thing. There's two standout Quicksilver scenes in the X-Men universe movies that are all so good.
Oh, yeah.
And this movie tries to do it like, no, stop doing
it. Yeah, actually, I was
stop trying.
Yeah.
Stop trying.
The X-Men movies just did it perfect.
Way better. And that's not even Marvel either.
Right.
Which is funny.
Well, I think the best scene for that one is the one where it's at the Superman Memorial. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably, I agree with that because of the way the eyes lock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
I mean, overall, I also like this.
What else can
I
say? We have 4 spoilers.
I liked Flash's suit as well. It was something that he made himself. You can tell he made it himself. It wasn't a polished suit. It wasn't something like the princess had, right? For example, she's got this armor, right? Ancient armor, all this made. Batman had this sleek suit or whatever,
Batman got money.
Well, Batman got money, exactly, yeah. Right? Aquaman is just wearing, like, some garb, right?
And seaweed and, like, he was stuck in a six-pack.
Superman has his, Superman has his uniform,
Yeah.
Like, or his uniform is...
So do we think these portrayals are a normal, modern, a good way to modernize them? because some of them are ridiculous. In the comic books, I think he's wearing Aquaman's wearing yellow and shit, bright yellow and other stuff. So like,
yeah, orange and green, I think.
Yeah, it's like some terrible color.
To be like kelp or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what were they thinking back then?
I don't know.
But
this, like, ink is cheap. Make him this color.
Like, I feel like they do diminish what these people are really capable of or should be.
Yeah.
But beyond that, do we even like how they acted around each other or they were modernized in this film compared to what you might have thought of them or what the legends say about them?
Well, I think Flash and Aquaman probably hold their own and do a better job than the other ones.
Okay.
Sad to say for Cyborg's character, because Cyborg is like supposed to kind of act that way.
I'm not very familiar with Cyborg.
Yeah, neither am I. But I mean, yeah, I sort of am.
I started watching the cartoons around it.
So yeah, it's so. Just yeah.
Look, you have any problem with that? The look, the modernizations of them.
I mean, I wasn't gonna expect them to wear like, you know, like a green spandex type thing with the yellow trim.
I mean, but beyond that too, the way they acted and the way they displayed their powers and whatever they needed to do.
That's the thing. It's like you didn't see really Aquaman do that much aside from like kill some stuff with his trident and. I
really wanted more trident action than I got.
Right. Yeah, me too. Well, the whole trick about Aquaman, like, the only thing about Aquaman is basically what the Amazonas are, what the Amazon women are, right? They're supposed to be strong, nearly indestructible people, right? Not nearly indestructible, but
they're there as guardians.
They're as guardians, basically. If you want to look at it that way,
they live a really long time. They have a whole kingship going.
Yeah,
they live in a different land. They are stronger but the humanoid versions, right?
Yeah. Like the one cool scene that we get in underwater is them pushing the whale away the water and having a conversation normally. And that was a really cool scene of like, oh my god, they can do these cool things, abilities, and we never see it again.
Right.
And we never get anything else to do with Aquaman has no abilities besides he knows how to use a trident, sort of.
And he's
cocky enough to fight.
He talks to the ocean, not the fish.
He talks to the ocean,
yeah. He talks to the fish.
Yeah, he's supposed to be talking to fish. Right. But it'd be weird if he just like
you will be eaten one day.
Yeah.
Think of me. Well, another thing is that a lot of these people were, unfortunately, like, I mean, Aquaman, Flash, Cyborg, those are the main three. Those three, we basically know very little, next to nothing.
Well, yeah, because unlike, you know,
not the enough.
Avengers movie.
They don't have their own movie. Right.
We had that. We had that setup. We knew about every character. If not, they were dropped into another movie.
And I don't even necessarily. I'm saying that I want a 45 minute longer version of this where they explain more of that. I don't want that either. I just like. I wish they would have reserved that idea to like maybe make them more mystical or mysterious about how and what these people are, instead of trying to cram in information. And then and immediately change their persona in the one sitting and expect us to go with them. Like,
What is it? I think these DC movies are made for just, like, the fans. You're not and, like, the Marvel movies are mainly for, you know, anybody can go and watch the Marvel movie.
Well, I think the Marvel movies in general did a good, better job of giving us characters, and Joe Blow can walk in and be like, hey, why is that person, whatever.
Who is this Ant person?
Right, exactly. We have an Ant-Man movie beforehand already. You know, the setup is there. And let's say even if the dad that takes his kid, the kid is explaining to the dad who the hell these characters are. Yeah. In comparison to us, what are we saying that we all watch the Flash show? We all saying, I mean, we all know Superman. We don't have to say Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, even though we've already gotten those movies, right? But Cyborg, everybody was like, I'm pretty sure it's just like, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
I was kind of like,
Aquaman is just like, I wish I learned more about Aquaman.
No, at first, don't. I was like, wait, is this the same Flash that's in the. Because I don't watch the TV show, but I'm like, are they using the same Flash?
I have this really geeky coworker who telling me, was telling me that Aquaman should be almost nearly on par with Superman as far as like, because his trident can supposedly kill him. That's how strong and powerful his weapon is supposed to be. I'm like, I got none of that in the movie. I'm like, yeah, I know. It sucks. He was telling me about. We were just comparing it to.
You know, I know a lot of
these people are supposed to be portrayed or their power.
I'll tell you something stuff like that. Real quick. Yes and no.
Well, I'm sure
Superman, in the end, is the guy who holds himself back. And he never releases his full strength. Like his.
Well, I have a problem with that. We'll talk about that in spoilers.
Right, yeah.
For sure.
But he's supposed to be a guy who holds his strength back. He fights to. He obviously fights to fight and everything, you know, to win as well, right?
Yeah.
But he holds himself back because he knows if he doesn't, he will destroy the world. Like, you know, like he's that powerful.
Yeah.
Or supposed to be.
So,
And Aquaman isn't.
I think there's this one thing in the plot that this movie can only do once, and they did it in this movie, that can never do again because it'll be even worse than this movie did. And that will be explained more in spoilers, but it's the way they brought around the problem of Superman. And they can only do it once, like I said, because there's no other time that they could pull this movie, move off in a movie. And it talks about how that power that you're talking about is, how can it be, like, quelled long enough to make it a challenge?
God.
Okay, yeah. That's, like, what I'm referring to. The villain, I know you seem to like him, Ralph, because you like him because he was more present.
Yes. That's literally the only reason I like him. He is two-dimensional as fuck.
I hated how he just came out of nowhere. He already has an instant army.
Yeah.
They're all armies of really bad things. And nothing's relatable or likable. Like, the villain has something to like about is the villain we all like. That's why Fisk is awesome in the Daredevil movies or shows. Like, that's why we like Loki.
You didn't care for the 10-minute background thing? Or
nope.
Nope?
That was kind of cool.
That didn't do justice for you? Why this...
Do justice
this,
for me?
This eminent threat is here?
Nope.
I thought it was cool. Because that was kind of, you know, more diving into it, so... That's one of the
I just saw three Tesseracts instead of one Tesseract. That's all I told myself in the movie theater.
Hey, hold on. Wasn't Vinny Chase supposed to be Aquaman anyways?
Yeah, what the hell?
Oh, right.
I thought Vinny Chase was supposed to get that
role. He should have been. Oh, no, Jason Momoa. No, Jason Momoa, dude.
No, this guy does a bad job.
Does a bad job? You think Jason Momoa didn't do a good job?
Does a better job.
Oh, better job. I think said bad job.
He talks.
Huh?
Maybe because I'm not used to seeing him talk.
You're not Aquaman? Used to, yeah, no, I'm not used to it either.
It's just like, I'm still really, not used to it. I expect to kind of...
No, he was like a gruff surfer dude, right?
I don't know. I wouldn't expect that from Aquaman.
Yeah, I mean, he has the look, maybe not the sound, but that's it.
Yeah,
well, the look for sure.
The guy can act though. He can act his ass off.
When he's speaking like Dothraki or something.
Not just then. I mean, what was that movie, The Bad Batch? He wasn't bad in that.
He said very little also.
But yeah, but that's the point. The movie used him for good effect.
You mean Miami Man?
Miami Man. That's right. Yeah, you remembered. All right, so I think that's enough on the spoiler-free area. So let's get into spoilers for Justice League, starting right now.
8 people abducted from or near Star Labs. Here's the potential perp.
Parademons.
Okay.
The demons must have caught the scent of another box. They carried people away to find out what they know.
So the 8 may still be alive.
9.
Oh.
The head of Star Labs was taken as well.
You made it. So then, there must be a nest nearby.
I plotted all the sightings of Metropolis, Gotham. No pattern, I can see. The lines on the map don't converge.
On land. These lead back to Braxton Island, between the two cities.
Gotham Harbor. These are air vents. They all lead down to the tunnel to Metropolis project that was abandoned in 29.
Do you really think that...
Oh, wow, they really just vanish. Huh? Oh. That's rude.
Can I start?
Yeah.
What the fuck did they do to Superman's face? That thing looked so goddamn fucking stupid.
That one scene, right?
What do you mean?
At the beginning when he first comes out, his face is like super CGI'd.
Was it?
Yes.
Something super weird.
So apparently...
It was like they had to do it in post or something.
I don't remember.
They couldn't get the actor to get back.
What's his face?
Henry Cavill?
Yeah, Henry Cavill had a mustache that he was growing out for another role. And they said, fuck it, just keep the mustache and we're going to CGI it.
No.
And that's why his face looked so goddamn horrible.
Oh, I didn't know that.
His smile and like lips and the teeth looked so stupid and weird. It's like, I just wanted to slap him like, this is ridiculous. This is like something an amateur would probably do. This is not a... You know, like AAA studio, big budget summer time movie, whatever. It was a piece of crap. This looks like a student project.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't pick.
No, the one scene.
I cringed.
Yeah.
I'm sure I did too. I just don't remember that scene. And I mean, I remember.
Like, it's when he first got out.
Him
like,
knocking the fuck out of Batman. Yeah. The only thing I liked about that setup is that Batman has the big guns, bring out the big guns, and it's Lois Lane. Yeah, that's cool.
That was a cool one.
That was a good thing.
My favorite scene of that thing, though, is the Flash scene, where Flash is like, I'm going to get behind this guy and like or save these kids, and then Superman's just like, oh, I see you.
By the way, an experienced Flash would have gotten the upper hand on him.
An experienced Flash would have, yes.
But he was just a little kept tripping over everything. Every time he ran.
Not even that. It's just that... Well, he is faster, and he kind of proves it, right? That he's faster because he's able to dodge all of his movements, right?
Yes, I have the biggest problem on the planet with the first stinger, which is like a fun stinger when they decide to go to the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
You guys see the big problem with that, right? Please, I mean, maybe I'll have to say it out loud, but do you guys know what I'm talking about? The big problem with that stinger?
No.
The one at the very end of the movie?
Yes, not the very end, like at the end of the credits. The first stinger after the first part of the credits.
Who can win the race?
Right.
Yeah.
So it ends with them racing, they're going, right? And it's like a bet. It's like, also, this has been told in many comics before. It's been argued about before. Flash is the fastest one.
Yeah.
We all know this. comic
Speed Force. Followers.
Guess what? Superman is flying in that scene.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I was
he's supposed to be running. Flying, yeah, he's faster. Because Flash doesn't know how to fly. But running, he's not. That's the whole point.
Right.
They missed the point of the entire race. He's not supposed to be flying.
No, I think it's who's the fastest in general. Like,
No. But it was always supposed to be a foot race.
No, usually I thought it was a foot race.
Yeah, it was always supposed to be a foot race. Like, it's a different thing. Because flying, he can't fly fast. Because it's different than being on the ground. I don't remember why, but it's supposed to be a foot race.
Oh, I don't know then.
I looked it up right after. Because I was like, that's wrong, right? I told myself. Yeah, so weird. I had a weird bugaboo about that. Like how you guys have with the CGI mustache, that's what I have with that scene.
Oh. Sure.
And also like the thing where he burns so many calories, so he's got to eat. He only saw like food with him like twice.
He asked for food once, and he has a pizza another time.
Okay. They legitimately could have just been like, okay. And this is where the sci-fi one-liner should have came in and be like, here's a protein bar that's packed with 10 billion calories. And Bruce Wayne, he goes, thanks, Bruce. And he just eats the fucking bar. He's like, damn, I'm full. But he gives him all the energy. Like, you could have ended there.
That's the thing is that this movie and this studio does not care about the details of these characters. They don't care about inserting those details that makes the movie rich. Makes the movie memorable. None of that is in this movie. They basically make Bruce Wayne useless in this movie. He's not the leader. They're setting up Wonder Woman to be the leader. Don't get me wrong. I love her. And
it's also a good plot.
But, I feel like Batman's... he has very little. He's only a human, that's rich.
It's a good plot, but we obviously know that Batman shouldn't be the leader, and he's also kind of like moving in the way that they're kind of pushing it. Also, he's an older guy. I don't want to be leader for that reason at the same time as whatever. But he's a playmaker. He's your guy who's coming up with all the plays in the end.
So I know, but they're like, he's trying to like kill him. He's like a suicide mission pact going on. And I don't know. I feel like they made him more useless than useful, in my opinion. And I don't know. I feel like he wasn't used very well. And I feel like by the end of the movie, he was the fifth useless person after Superman, because Superman's the only one that should be fighting crime.
Okay, tell me how much they really avoided using Superman.
Right? That's what I'm saying. They can only do this once. They can only play to his death once, and then when they resurrect him, act like he's confused once. They can only do this once.
Tell me how much they just really did. They were like, the moment he shows up is just like, oh, by the way, guys, we don't need anybody else.
Right.
We really didn't.
So a suicide mission before he came and surprises them all, quote unquote, back into the where were they? Russia or
I think
Russia.
So.
Somewhere.
Yeah. When he did that, I'm like, okay. Once he arrives, like before that time, before he arrives, like okay, yes, go all out because you have to, right? And then once he arrives, you can just go home, right? Literally, you can just go home.
I mean, you guys can get some shawarma.
The guy, like, there was a scene where like he fights off Steppenwolf, terrible name.
Yeah.
It's
a good band name though.
I was thinking of the theater company in the city.
That too.
So he fights him off once, and he doesn't really subdue him or kill him or anything, but he fights him off once. He goes to help someone, and then that's the only other quote-unquote opportunity the bad guy has to take over, and Superman comes back and does it. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think there's a big problem going on here with this overpowered shit. How are you going to make anything feasible? What's the next thing?
Well, that's the whole trick. That's a big thing. That is a big thing.
I know setting up Darkseid. I know no one knows what that is.
That's the whole thing. Is like eventually is that there's armies just going on in general, and everybody else does crowd control while he goes focus on the main guy.
I mean, but you don't even need crowd control. I mean, you don't need any of it. The place was. I mean, I'm just saying, it feels like all of them, even Wonder Woman, overpowered. That scene with her stopping all the bullets, badass. But immediately you can't have any human as a bad guy.
Yeah.
Other than Lex Luthor for some reason. But like, yeah, that's it. You can't have it because they're all useless to these people. They're stick figures, right? It seems like it's just too powerful, too overpowered. Like Marvel characters, they all have one ability, except for like Thor. He has a few, and he's from a different land. But like they have limitations. They all can be killed. These people, none of them seem like they can be killed, except for Bruce
Hulk.
Wayne.
Hulk, yeah, can be killed.
Oh, yeah, well, Hulk is the only one truly can be killed.
Right.
Yeah.
I think old age. Maybe cancer.
Yeah, maybe. Can he die from diabetes? He can die from old
diabetes?
Age.
Diabetes? Yeah. Yeah, you never know.
Diabetes. Nice.
Well, maybe he just gets angry.
So I feel like, do you guys see the problem with this? Do you guys feel like this is going to be a huge problem?
There is a problem, I think, but at the same time, how do you explain hundreds of comics that have continued and not have this problem?
Yeah, better villains?
But the medium is different. The medium is different. There's a different attention span. There's a different audience to the people who watch movies than it is to reading comics. I'm not saying they don't connect, but there's a lot more do one than the other. And it will not be connecting with people if they keep doing it. I mean,
every
scenario will have to be world-ending at the least.
I just think they're not doing it. Well, yeah, that's basically what it is. At the same time, I just don't think they're doing enough jobs, a good enough job of focusing on the characters for us to care enough for us to watch a movie if we know the answer is Superman's going to win it anyway. Right.
They're going to have to, that guy's going to have to wait for him to take a vacation because they're going to attack.
All right, guys, he's in the Bahamas.
He's in Krypton, check on something. And then, they have a day or two to wreak mayhem. Wreak havoc, I mean.
Well, the whole trick to it is that there's just constant things going on, right? And he can't be everywhere at once. So obviously there needs to be different superheroes. And same thing goes when these war-like things happen where, what's it called, like this Steppenwolf guy comes in, right? They can't handle everything at the same time. Like, he can't go save the people and fight Steppenwolf. It just doesn't happen, you know? So there are those dichotomies where he eventually does need help. He can't manage everything. Because you kill Steppenwolf, does that mean that...
Look, I want them to get their act together, and I hope they do.
Yeah.
But they haven't yet, and I don't... There's an imbalance.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it can't be fixed. I'm just pointing out mistakes I see in this movie, and that I'm wondering if they're going to keep fucking it up on the next three. Because now they're going to do the standalone movies for the other ones, right? They're going to do a standalone Flash, probably.
Are they?
That's what I heard.
Possible.
I mean, we had that before this movie. I felt like Justice League was rushed. I really feel this movie was rushed.
Rushed, right?
We saw what movie did we see?
I mean, in the last two years was Suicide Squad, Batman v Superman, Wonder Woman, and now this one.
Okay, when Wonder Woman came out, it was this year. Am I correct?
Yeah, remember you in the movie in the review, you were surprised that Justice League was coming out this year.
Yeah. I was like, wait, Justice League's coming out this year? You're like, yeah, end of the year. And I was like, wait, what? And I was like, there's no way. There's no way Justice League is coming out.
Yeah,
no. You're like, yeah, end of year.
Next year, we got Aquaman.
Fucking bonkers.
Next year, we have Aquaman.
Shazam and Wonder Woman 2's 2019. Cyborg and Green Lantern Corps 2020. And then other projects that don't have a release date are Suicide Squad 2, Justice League Dark, Flashpoint.
Great, darker now.
The Batman, Batgirl, a Justice League sequel.
The chocolate's dark
Gotham
enough, guys.
City
we don't have
Sirens,
to darken it more.
Nightwing, Untitled Joker and Harley Quinn film, another Superman solo film, another Untitled solo films for Black Adam, Deadshot, Lobo, and Deathstroke.
I think if they do movies how they did for Wonder Woman and they focus on that, hopefully that helps out the Justice League or their combo type of movies, like the Avengers type of stuff. But right now, all they can hope for is keep making movies how they did for Wonder Woman.
We need somebody with the most flamboyant color scheme to direct the next movie.
We need like a Taika Waititi to make the next one.
I don't want to say him because... But
I know.
That'd be amazing.
But Thor Ragnarok was so colorful and cool.
It's don't be afraid of colors.
Right, don't be afraid. I think they need to,
I think they also need to stick true to characters. They just need to stay true to characters.
Yeah.
That's a really big thing.
I think if they just focus on just character, pick an arc, do that arc. Don't go crazy beyond that. You're going to be fine. Have some good, solid supporting.
Well, it's really hard because what they're doing is they're flopping in and out.
Yeah.
What are we going to get? Are we going to get an origin story of these characters or are we just going to get a movie about them? Or with them in it,
right.
And they're solving a problem, but we really don't know anything about
it. One of the problems I'm starting to see is that if Wonder Woman in her second standalone movie has a major villain issue, how do you not include the rest of your team?
Right? Unless it's prequel
one of the things, again, I'm not trying to compare it to Marvel, but Marvel gets away with it because they make it really localized And it's not that important for Iron Man to come in there for that time.
Exactly.
Like, it's not that important.
They do a really good job.
Spider-Man can figure this shit out.
Spider-Man's in the Bronx, guys.
Right.
Let him deal with this.
Right.
Right. No one's going to go to Hell's Kitchen. Wonder but thank Woman, God there's Daredevil over there.
Wonder Woman lives in Europe, so yeah. That's one thing.
No, I mean, but yeah, but the Flash,
Superman,
Batman, they all can get there pretty fast. That's the point.
Flash is in Central City.
Excuse me. Gotham and Metropolis are right next to each other, according to
this movie, movie, right? Yes. Across the water. Yeah. It's pretty awful.
Gordo.
Gordo. He's eating a donut, guys. Any other problems we have with this movie I would mention or good things? I want to mention one good thing is that I think that usually the problem with all superhero movies, I'm talking Marvel too, is that the ending scene, the big bang action sequence of taking down the main bad guy is usually the worst part of action scenes in the movie.
It was so fucking lackluster.
But the thing is that, no, here's my thing. My positive thing is that while it was a piece of shit in general, the movie was consistently the same level of action. So it didn't actually decrease from...
yeah.
Like, the best thing might be the when they resurrect Superman and they're trying to calm him down, right? Because that's the, like, Civil War glint. But that's it, you know? But the actions, the set pieces, the quality of them, there's, like, usually there's one centered in the middle, right? That's amazing. And then it trails off from that point. This one, no. It has a consistent, all same level action scenes. So that's something.
I guess.
It was kind of a half joke because like that's how hard I was trying to figure something out positive to say. Justice League. Well, Singer. Second Singer. What do you think? Second Singer? With Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah.
Legend of Doom. Right? Legion of Doom. Sorry.
He's out.
Yeah, he got out. Right, it's not that important. Deathstroke, right? It was Deathstroke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I mean, nothing. It seems like they're just setting up for the Justice League of bad guys, right?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. Simple. Do we want to see that? Do we even like Jesse Eisenberg in this? I think we complained a lot about him last year. I did.
I'm pretty sure I did.
One of us did. Anything else on this movie, Justice League?
Where's Green Lantern?
Right. Right. I guess there.
As Luke's defense, he was in the movie.
What? He wasn't.
There was a Green Lantern.
There was a lantern dude, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, it's a lantern.
Come on. But, you know, wait till 2020 when the Green Lantern movie comes out.
Oh, all right.
I wonder if Ryan Reynolds is going to reprise his role.
He can't play everyone. He can't play five superheroes. Did you guys see the trailer, though, for the new one?
Get a napkin, dude. Yes.
That was funny. He plays the painter guy.
Bob Ross?
Yeah. I think the bit went a little too long, but otherwise it was
good. Use your imagination.
Yeah, that was good. And you just blink and it's a perfect thing. The opposite color of what he was doing.
I'm just going to...
That was my favorite part of the movie.
Wet the brush.
He kept doing that. It was just really weird.
Yeah, beat it like it owes you money.
That's a superhero movie or anti-hero.
That guy, you could tell they really know what makes a.
It's like they read the comics or something.
It's like they actually know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
So anything else before we go on Justice League before, or may you know say your piece or go in peace.
I still think Superman fits a great role. Also, and Batman, Superman's the actor.
Oh, Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They all look the part.
Cavill fits the part. For,
no,
for
they all look the part. Sure. For sure.
No, but as far as like, I like the one that has the biggest pair of balls is still Batman in this movie. He just goes gun ho. He's the only one who could actually die, like not run away from a battle. Right. It's really hard for him.
What do we think of Wonder Woman and Bruce Wayne being like? I should say Diana.
Being like cozy.
Yeah. Like the movie's trying to get them together.
Okay. I think Alfred's trying to get them together.
Yeah, but the movie's also doing it. We're sure. So, I mean, do we want that? Is that
I don't know. Okay. Nor do I care.
I mean, I figure I ask. Yeah.
I do like that they actually show Batman like bruise up the shit though.
That was really cool. Yeah.
For sure. I mean,
and
yeah,
Amy Adams, Lois Lane, kind of. Useless?
She's always useless in all the movies.
Right, it's like
always the most
kind
useless.
Of annoying.
It's Amy Adams for fuck's sake. She's a good actress. Use her,
right.
Man. She was in fucking Arrival. Come on, guys. It's not hard to use. That's what kills me, man. They have really good actors for some of this stuff, and they don't really. Even Marvel movies have this problem too. They don't really use them that well.
Well, I just think they go into roles that they're not meant to be used for that type of thing.
Except for Jeff Goldblum, he was used perfectly.
Yeah. But like that's the thing. They're for roles that aren't going to be gigantic. They're important roles, but they're not something, you know, necessarily have a lot of screen time or have enough to make too big of an impact either.
Mayhaps. You know? Mayhaps.
Like in a Superman movie, that Amy Adams thing works great, you know. But we haven't had that.
No. I think even in Man of Steel, like, she had the worst lines. And she's supposed to be a smart journalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we're going to cut it. Should we say that on Justice League?
Yeah. Still right. Slightly better than Iron Man 3. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
Well, we all know Oscar's disdain for superhero movies, so he's going to judge it hard regardless. We know Luke's love of superhero movies.
Yeah.
So he's going to put it above something regardless. And, yeah, there you go.
I'm going to say something real quick, and that is the end of another franchise is coming in December, right? It's The Last Jedi? It's the last of this new trilogy?
No. This is movie 8.
This is movie 8, yeah.
Oh, because they skipped one. That's right. That's the middle one.
Yeah.
This is the one with Rian Johnson?
My bad. But this is the Rian Johnson one, and this might be the only Star Wars that makes my top 10, I think.
Dude, no.
I hear it's going to be amazing. I hear it's so amazing.
Rian Johnson is making 3.
I know. That's how good this is. That's amazing. And you know how much hope I have for this movie? Guys, I've never had hyped for Star Wars. I've never had hype before. I think I have so much
of
it
now. I hope to God I'm here to watch this movie with you guys.
So much for The Last Jedi. I have so much hype for it.
I hope you go somewhere where they're not even playing this movie.
I hope you go to Alaska again.
You will fucking get this movie to me. You will break into AMC and steal a reel.
AMC?
And a projector. And a screen.
And a screen.
And ship it over.
Anyway, we'll do that.
Okay.
Cody. All right. Anything else? All right.
I didn't know my middle name was Moneybags. Anyways, continue.
All right, so I said on Justice League, we're going to take a quick break for this trailer thing I'm going to show you. Our next film, our last film of the evening, I think. I just don't know which one. Is Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. It's a long title, man. Anyway, check out what that's about. Stay with us.
Is there like a colon in there? Or a
comma?
A comma.
Ebbing, Missouri. All right,
What's along what you can and cannot say on a billboard? I assume you can't say nothing defamatory and you can't say fuck, piss, or cunt. That right?
Or anus?
I think I'll be all right then.
I guess you're Angela Hayes' mother.
That's right. I'm Angela Hayes' mother.
So, Mildred Hayes, why did you put up these billboards?
My daughter Angela was murdered 7 months ago. It seems to me the police department is too busy torturing black folks to solve actual crime.
What the hell is this?
Dixon, I'm in the middle of my goddamn Easter dinner.
Sorry, kids.
I know, Chief, but I think we got kind of a problem. Sunshine
beating on a good time. I'd do anything to catch your daughter's killer.
I don't think those billboards is very fair.
The time it took you to get out here whining like a bitch, Willoughby. Some other poor girl's probably out there being butchered right now.
After months have passed without a culprit in her daughter's murder case, Mildred Hayes makes a bold move, painting 3 signs, billboards, leading into her town with a controversial message directed at William Willoughby, the town's reverend chief of police. When his second-in-command, Officer Dixon, an immature mother's boy with a penchant for violence, gets involved, the battle between Mildred and Ebbing's law enforcement is only exacerbated. This is the latest film by Martin McDonagh.
Whodunna
is Martin McDonagh. Written and directed by him, the man who brought us the infamously, well, for us anyway, In Bruges.
Oh, love that movie. Oh, God, yeah. Love the fuck.
Watch that movie once a year. Like, it's really easy to watch. Super well written, super well acted, a lot of things. He also did 7 Psychopaths and a short film that I really dug. I also have the DVD of this. It's a 6-shooter. I think that's where we probably started from. And this movie stars Frances McDormand, Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, Caleb Landry Jones.
Peter Dinklage
is in this. Abby Cornish is in this. Who is that other guy? I'm trying to remember. Lucas Hedges is in this movie. I'm looking for one in particular that I can't find right at this very moment. Sandy Martin's in it. Who is the John Hawks? That's the guy I was thinking of. John Hawks. Okay, so this is a dark comedy. Dark crime comedy. That's kind of what he specializes in. All his movies are dark. They're all comedy.
Hella dark.
They're all criminal or crime-based. So, what did you... We saw this together.
Yes.
So, for once, I mean. What did you think of the movie, Luke?
super dark, but fucking god hilarious at times.
Like, yeah, at times explodes with funny.
Oh my god, you have those moments of just explosive laughter. And, like, everyone in the theater reacted to it. It wasn't just me being super dark by myself. It was everyone.
There's a few times, though, like two times in that movie theater where we were the only ones laughing.
Probably, yeah.
I think. We're also, like, surrounded by old people.
Yeah, I was the youngest person by at least, I don't know, a decade.
30? Wow, you were being generous, I guess.
I know.
Yeah. I hear you. So, I also love this movie. It's so entertaining to watch. This movie, this guy has only sharpen his knife as far as the, you know, the way he writes. I think his writing is his best attribute. And there isn't a stale like plot or side story or side character that's in this movie. If they're minor roles, they're still minor, but like they make sense in the cohesive nature of everything that's happening. And the whole movie lasts what, 2 weeks of time, maybe a week of time, and right.
Close to a month, I think.
And there's a lot of breaking of traditional movie laws, too. Like, for example, you know, these three billboards says that what Miss Hayes makes, and she's like a very tough woman that never apologizes, is always very rude, but always knows what she wants. And yeah. She has a, you know, she has a fucking dedication to getting her shit done. She's very anti-police. A lot of it has to come with the people she's around with, you know, because the police in this particular county are known for kind of bleeding on minorities.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And her best friend is like, you know, this black lady who she works with, for example. So, you know, I guess her leanings are against the cops too. And it just rolls from there and it keeps snowballing. What aspect do you want to talk about first, Luke? I mean, there's so many things to grab onto. I really wouldn't even know where to start. Well, spoilers, of course. But do you have any preference on where to start? Figure
not without spoiling.
Well, pick something that doesn't spoil. Dun dun dun. Yes, I'm putting you in the spotlight.
Yeah,
I have to.
How about them billboards, huh?
they were
think the guy could have given really her well like a made. Deal?
Do you think that the reaction is the town has and Willoughby and the cops? Do you think it's a, I don't want to say normal reaction, an expected reaction? Do you think you expected?
Oh yeah, those small knit like redneck towns. Fuck yeah.
Okay, I mean, but you expect that here, right? Obviously, here in the city of Chicago. I mean,
well, it depends. Like over there, I'm sure most people are like for the cop. Well, I think in Chicago, a lot of people are like anti-cop,
or there's like more half and half.
Right.
So I was curious. That's the only. I'm not saying it's unbelievable. It's not, because I don't live in a small town. I just don't, so I don't know. But I can see it happening. I'm not saying it's unbelievable that way. It just feels like it's almost too far-fetched that the reaction would be to be against this woman in favor of law enforcement when it's her that's the victim. She is a victim ultimately because her daughter was raped and murdered.
Yeah, and
raped while murdered, right? That's what she wrote.
No, raped while dying.
While dying, that's what she wrote, yeah. The first book ever said, rape while dying. Still no arrest.
How come
Chief Willoughby or William Willoughby or whatever? And it's, I mean, it's very nice.
To the point, sharp, like stab and twist.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So did the setup bother you at all? Did you love it throughout the whole movie? How they managed to keep it going for as long as the movie went?
Yeah, I was actually surprised. Like at first I was like, okay, I didn't have that high of a hope for this movie. Or at first I was like, okay, you know, I'll just go see it just to get it over with. But then...
Oh, okay.
Then I was just like, holy shit, this is pretty damn good.
Oh, you didn't know who wrote it or directed?
Nope.
Yeah, okay. Had you known, would you be more excited?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, cool. Do you like Seven Psychopaths? I forget. Did you see that one? I have the Blu-ray of it, but...
I don't know. I think I'm confusing with a different movie. I haven't seen it, so...
There's a lot of movies with Seven in it, so... Not many with Psychopaths, though, so it's kind of harder to confuse that one. I want to say, as far as the premise goes, I think it sold completely well. Like you could tell that there's a lot of well thought out stuff going on. And like I said earlier, there's nothing that that goes traditional tropes. For example, like in this kind of movie, one of the things I was worried about, especially with Woody Harrelson, because he could play a really good guy or a really bad guy.
Oh yeah,
I thought that, you know, considering that she was the Miss Hayes here, the main actor, main character. I mean, she is targeting the chief. And that's played by Woody Harrelson. And when we meet Woody Harrelson's character and throughout the whole movie, is he is not a bad guy. He is, in a way, a victim to this stuff, too. And he doesn't want the guy who raped and killed her daughter to go out free either. But he's also a victim to this controversy. And normally, like a cheaper movie would make him a bad asshole, like an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. And it kind of reminds me of like that one movie with Jeff Bridges, I think, where he's the country singer.
Oh, you're talking. Oh my God, it's with her. Oh my.
Yeah.
It's in the tip of my like a Crazy Horse. Crazy Heart.
Crazy Heart, I think.
Crazy Heart.
Yeah, and we expected like everyone like. Like the his friend was gonna be like this major dick, but he's like really trying to get
right.
Him
the
a
guy
record.
He's anti, right? Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of you're that
right.
Moment.
And the journalist, yep. I thought was gonna be a little different, it turned out to be, yeah. You're right. It feels like that. I wonder if no, there's no correlation.
Damn, that movie came out in 2009.
Yeah, we love that movie. That we great. Really like that yeah. movie. Not many people remember or like that movie, yeah. Except that you know Jeff Bridges I think won for Best Actor, if I'm not mistaken, but or at least nominated. But I was totally into that movie. But yeah, exactly right. The power of that movie is that it does things unexpectedly in the genre that it's doing.
Yep.
It looks like a normal biopic, although it's all fiction, but it looks and acts like a normal biopic, but none of it happens like you think it will. It's the same thing with this one. It looks like a it's not a normal dark comedy crime right. thriller, but it's a dark comedy crime thriller that also defies expectations as to what these characters will do and how they grow. And the thing is that they all grow in some way. Oh, they all give the main
except
actor...
One.
Okay, we'll go to that. except for, you know, and the ones that are too minor, let's say, to grow or find any growth in them, they give their leeway to make Frances McDormand's character, the mean, evil bitch, who's not evil at all, grow herself by the end of the movie. And I think I really like that stuff. So we totally recommend it, right?
Oh, definitely.
It's not for the faint of heart, though. This shit gets dark. When I mean dark, we actually mean dark. Like, on top of the way, like, if you can imagine your son calling you a cunt, there's
right,
some
right.
of that in here, but that's like the minorest.
Or you telling your daughter to get raped as your last words
oh
to her.
Oh my God, as your last words to her with that flashback.
Story. Yeah.
And it was really well written, that scene. It was both uh-huh. funny, and then at the end there with the punch, like, no, stop laughing, it's dark time.
Right.
dark time, we should call that. But yeah, that happens, and then, you know, and then the movie gets, I mean, that's just the minorest dark point. So it gets farther from there. So let's talk about a little bit about Sam Rockwell's character. We talked about the chief.
Yeah.
Dixon. What do you think of Dixon?
Total dick.
Yeah. I mean, that name was written on purpose.
Yeah, probably. But he's like this inept cop that's just barely probably scraping by. I think he said he was in the academy like 5 years or something.
Oh, my God. That was really funny.
How did you fuck that up?
That was really funny. And he says it so casually.
Right. Like, and he's like, he's a total mama's boy because she does everything for him. Like...
And he does everything that she wants. Yeah. The mother was strange. The mother character was strange for me. Because at some point...
The mother had the balls.
Right. No, it's not just that. The way the mother was like, at first, was giving him really bad advice to go, you should not beat up the minority, but something like that. Like, go the violence route that she was like egging him on. And another scene, she would give the best advice in that moment, what to do. And I was really conflicted of her actual role, other than the fact that she controlled him. But yeah, it was interesting, but I didn't quite peg her really as a character. But Dixon does make a change too. What do you think of?
I think he had one of the more drastic changes.
For sure. Oh yeah, for sure. Although it kind of spoils it a little bit, but no, it's okay. Red Welby, the guy who owns the billboards or is renting them out.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of him?
I mean, not much to him.
I mean, he's kind of a, what is it?
Like a pushover, but he's trying to like have a backbone.
Like a Playboy pushover? He has some backbone for sure.
He's not too confident, but he'll kind of put in the corner.
Yeah. Are you surprised billboards cost that much?
I was like, damn, cut the woman a deal.
Right.
I mean, three billboards that you don't even know existed.
Oh, yeah. Or hasn't made money from you. You haven't made money from. And,
since the 80s.
The 80s, right? Yeah. And this thing is set in present day. So that was interesting. I didn't think it would cost that much. I didn't think that the cost of the billboards would be a problem and a plot point in the movie. But it does turn out to be so. I think the spoilers we're going to get into a lot more because there's a certain death that happens in the midway point, and I want to get into it right now. So spoilers, but we would recommend it for sure.
Oh, definitely
watch it. If you've seen In Bruges and you love it, you're going to love this one, like guaranteed. So spoilers for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, starting right now.
I'd do anything to catch the guy who did it, Mrs. Hayes, but when the DNA don't match no one who's ever been arrested, and when the DNA don't match any other crime nationwide, and when there wasn't a single eyewitness from the time she left your house to the time we found her, well, right now, there ain't too much more we can do.
Could pull blood from every man and boy in this town over the age of 8.
Their civil rights laws prevents that, Mrs. Hayes. And what if he was just passing through town?
Pull blood from every man in the country, then.
And what if he was just passing through the country?
If it was me, I'd start up a database. Every male baby was born, stick him on it. And as soon as he'd done something wrong, cross-reference it, make 100% certain it was a correct match, then kill him.
Yeah, well, there's definitely civil rights laws prevents that.
Dude, chief, the chief.
Dude, fucking his eats suicide. It.
Dude.
But I love, dude, his wife is hot.
And British, I think, right? Or some or
I
Welsh?
I think she's Australian.
Really?
I think she's Australian.
Well, I mean.
Who cares?
I mean, I'm from Chicago. I'm Mexican. I don't know. I just don't know. She was a very, very. Anyway,
so he's got cancer. He's dying.
Yeah, we know that from the beginning, too. He has that. Oh, my God. That scene when he's interviewing Hayes.
Yeah, and he just like spits a blood on her face.
And her reaction was so tender and human and fucking respectful.
It's just like.
And they were fighting a second ago.
Like I said, no one's trying to be the bad guy here, but like.
But they both push each other's buttons to the point where they want they would be the bad guy. I mean, they both think they're doing the right thing. For him, he's like, get off my back, and I can do this. And for her, it's like, no, this is the most activity I've seen from you cops about my wife's case. I mean, my daughter's case, right? That good thing I did do it. I'm leaving those billboards up, and the whole thing with Woody Harrelson, you know, the perfect day with his kids, the perfect day with his wife, and
I love the bag though.
The bag. Oh, the bag on his
head. Don't remove the bag. Just call the boys.
Right. That was good. Very respectful. He died like, among the horses.
Yeah.
He got his wife drunk too, so she won't.
The perfect day.
Perfect day. It was good. It was very, very tender and also kind of funny, because after his death, like there's one letter to the wife, and then there's another letter.
Well, there's a letter of the day of, and then there's letters he already wrote. Before,
right? No, yeah, but they get revealed to the audiences in that order. It's the wife first, and then it's almost like a joke. then Hayes gets a letter, and then Dixon gets a letter, and by then it's like this funny part. Like this guy does not die; he hasn't died.
Yeah, he's still in the movie. Character.
He's still a character, and his voiceover, Woody Harrelson's recognizable voiceover, is playing throughout these letter reading scene, and it was just so good. I think it was good.
Yeah,
and another movie that could have failed though. That could easily fail, but it worked for me. If this was like a show and this is season 3, like we keep getting all these letters from this guy who died a long time ago. There's a bunch of shows like that. But this one works because it's all in the 2 hours. Anything else you want to talk about, Chief Willoughby, in any respect? I mean, he regretted not, you know. I like how he spent none of his last day thinking about the billboards because that's what he would do. His life is separate from his. Yeah. It's perfect.
And I love how he actually paid for the next month of billboards.
Oh, that was good.
That was such a, like, that a last. Good.
And the reason she kept me, there was a moment where she could have taken him off after the burning.
Yeah.
That there was a genuine chance of taking it off, and she was kind of losing hope. But she was like, nah, fuck it, let's keep it up. Yeah, he paid for it. Right.
Yeah, that was a good joke.
And he kept the name. She kept the name and everything. That was really good. I thought that the next scene after his death, when they found out in the news, I thought she was going to immediately go out and take it down, out of respect, of course.
Right.
But no, it didn't turn out that way. But it turned out in a funnier but and yet better enough way than I didn't anticipate. That was really good.
Yeah. So who else do you want to talk about?
I mean, Dixon's changed, son.
Dude, Dixon, yeah.
He goes from throwing a guy off the window in broad daylight with his new boss. Okay.
Yeah.
His boss, who's one of the main characters, I forget his name off my head, one of the main cop characters in The Wire. So when you get to watching that, he plays obviously a much younger version. Lieutenant Fremont, I think is his name. Not that much younger, but like definitely 15 years younger. Yeah, so you'll like him in that movie. You're gonna be, I totally recognize him. Okay, perfect cop. He's a perfect chief. Perfect chief. He's like built for that control. So I really liked it. What do you think of that whole... well, you know, Dixon in general, I'm like, he's a complicated character. What do you think of the red herring of finding the potential killer?
And oh, that was great because it's how Woody Harrelson or Willoughby said, like, you know, one guy's going to go out to a bar.
5 years later.
Or in a prison, he's going to start bragging about it and someone's going to hear it.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going to get solved. And then we have that exact same scenario.
And after the letter, too.
God, Dixon is so goddamn good how he does the whole thing, like the trick. And then
the DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just scratches him.
Just gets his ass beat, even though he just got out of the hospital.
From a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he didn't even notice, which is really funny. He was reading the thing on his with his headset.
He was so engulfed in the letter.
And Hayes is like calling the cop, the station, to make sure no one's there.
But he's listening to music.
He's listening to music, so he can't hear shit. And they established that all really well before. Everything's foreshadowed really nicely and not like overly done. Not like done in a way that looks like it's being placed for foreshadowing. It's done like these characters would do that and have done that whenever they're alone or together with people or whatever. Yeah, it totally works. There's so many little things we could talk about, so many of the plot things. But did you were you dissatisfied or satisfied with the fact that this guy was not their guy, not the daughter's killer?
It kind of was disappointing because you kind of wanted to get that good.
You definitely want, as an audience member, you definitely want it.
But it kind of...
Realistically, maybe not, right?
Right. Yeah. But you kind of see the transformation in like both people and how like, you can see Dixon, you know, the best thing you can do is just be a good person.
Like, doesn't finally use his head in a situation, right?
Although I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to Idaho tomorrow, too.
That's
funny coincidence.
And their justification that this guy did something shady. He may not have killed your daughter, but he did something bad.
Right. Let's fucking kill him.
Yeah. And how, I mean, his alibi was really airtight. He wasn't even in the country. It's not like he was working that day. He was out of the country.
Yeah.
Can't beat that, huh?
Probably burning some, like, Middle Eastern person and raping
him. Yeah, I'm sure he's not a good guy. All of his face and everything looked douchebaggery to me. Red Welby, when he's, after he's beaten by Dixon, he's in the hospital. And when Dixon goes, you know, gets
on. Oh, right.
That thing was
crying
awesome.
And then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was his.
That's like a
change.
That was his moment, his cue.
Because he had read the letter by then, of course, and his mentor Willoughby had died, and Willoughby really looked after him a lot. You could tell that the reason he's still a cop is because of him.
Yeah,
but now he's gone.
Really helped him,
right? But all this stuff with the billboards and him trying to show respect, but in the worst ways. I think him in that hospital scene. I think the only reason we see it is not only because it's funny, you know, because Red doesn't know that it's Dixon the whole time until he reveals it, and he still gives him orange juice. That's the cue for me. That's the ping of change that I see for the character, where I believed the way he moved around after. Do we think that Hayes changed in any significantly, hopefully, better way? I mean, she did, but
it's, I think hers is kind of like a harder one.
Yeah.
To notice.
I think one of the what's his name Tyrion.
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. Thank you. I think Peter Dinklage's sole reason to exist as a character in this movie is a lot to show of that, like the date.
Yeah.
Right. The date and the ex-husband, like him and the ex-husband, do a lot of work to her character. Some bad, some good. John Hawks is an asshole dating some 19-year-old. I think 19.
Yeah.
Her scenes were fucking hilarious. Did you like it?
Oh my god, she's the dumbest thing ever.
It was perfect. She did not know what. You just gotta see it. But him is like the anti, and there's this guy, Peter Dinklage's character, who is seducing her clearly into her. She's not into him, but she owes him for something. You know.
Well, I mean, I don't think she would have ratted her out either way.
Right.
He just literally saying, well, let's get dinner.
Yeah.
And she felt like obligated to because he saved her ass.
Yeah, because, I mean, somewhere in there among the facade of her, you know, she told off a priest in the beginning. Like, there's all this horrible stuff she did to a lot of people in order, like burning fires
and
bridges.
Oh, that was good with the priest.
Yeah, that was great. She's burning bridges along the way, too, much like the character in Good Time. But for a better reason and a more understandable reason. And she's doing all this stuff in order to achieve her goal to find this killer and get justice. And along the way, she gets finally like a sledgehammer reminder by Peter Dinklage, like that her persona and her ways are just wrong, and it's all wrong, and she shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff, and he doesn't deserve that. He didn't. And that was a cool scene. I really like that scene.
Yeah.
If there's any change, I think it's coming from that whole thing.
That was like a
personal.
That was like the slap in the face for her.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think of the relationship with the son?
See, not much wasn't with the son, but I think
I expected more.
The son definitely suffering through depression and
totally.
Just having to see all that shit and like I mean he was
the
there.
Whole school thing.
he saw it. I mean,
yes, I'm
sure he hates his mom a bit.
In some form, but also he hasn't left her.
Yeah.
I'm sure that the dad would have offered him to
possibly.
Go to, right?
And the son could nail the dad's girlfriend.
Right, because they're the same age. or around the same age.
Right.
I feel like the movie's main flaw, if anything, is that relationship isn't, I feel like, as strong enough as the rest of the people in this movie. Even if they're not directly related to her, but like Dixon and Willoughby, we gotta feel stronger than other people. But like Hayes' son and her, I don't think they were. I think I needed more from the son or about him. Or
he felt way too minor. He should have been.
Yeah, I feel like he should have been a bigger part.
Yeah,
personally. So if there's any flaw for the movie, I would say it's that. And otherwise, I loved every bit of swear, every bit of fucking action, every bit of insanity. The whole thing with the news thing. The news coverage was very fucking opinionated.
Yeah.
The way they just blamed her at the end for the suicide of Willoughby. Right. And
she just drives by.
Yeah, that was good. After the fire. Did it surprise you that it was Hayes' ex-husband who put the fire on the billboards?
Yeah.
Who do you think it would be? Dixon, right? We all thought it was Dixon.
I thought it was like Dixon, yeah. Or somebody, yeah. But I thought it could even be the son. But no, he was with her.
Right, right. And also, like, I thought it was maybe that guy who freaked her out in the shop.
Yeah.
Because that happened before, right?
Yes, it did.
So I thought it might have been him, because we only met him once until the bar later on. So, but we totally recommend it. It's really intricate, much more intricate than we're saying all these details. And if you haven't seen the movie and you're still listening, you notice that there's a lot of plots to this movie. But it's all very fun plot, very dark, very inviting, and very cool. So that is it for our review of Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And that is it for our show. Ralph, you didn't see that movie, Three Billboards.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
Very shame. That's the one movie we both, Luke and I, agree on.
Yeah, I know, right?
We agree on 100%, I mean. So that is it for our show. As I said, we have been listening to another movie podcast. Do not forget that we have a feedback email thing you can send stuff on to see how wrong we are at podmoviecast@gmail.com. Don't forget. And otherpodcast.com is our website, our home hub for everything we're going to have forever until I feel like stop paying anyway.
Forever, ever?
Forever, ever. You know what our bonuses is for this month, the month of November? What movie are we reviewing
Murder
for bonus?
Murder on the Orient Express.
That is correct. Very nice, Luke. I already saw it, but I'm going to have a guest host for that movie, Murder on the Orient Express, but by Kenneth Branagh. And our current bonus episode that came out that was reviewed 5 months ago, for those who missed it then, is Wonder Woman. That got released this month. So check it out. Ralph and I reviewed that one.
Yeah. It's probably like $5 on Black Friday sales.
It was $9.
But worth it.
I bought it a $9 Blu-ray digital copy.
I bought it like months ago for like $10.
Nice.
Digital copy.
I saved a dollar.
Let's
pitch our stuff real quick. For our Twitter, you can follow me and Letterboxd as well for my movie watching habits over at Armin Filmmaker, which is filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ralph?
You could follow me on Twitter at Gamer Ralph. That is with two R's and an F.
Lukey Poo?
At Blind Noir, if I ever decide to tweet.
If you ever decide to tweet.
Most of the time, just like retweeting stuff.
Remember, those bonus episodes comes for those who support us by donating, which is at otherpodcast.com. Donating any amount will get you that bonus episode of Murder on the Orient Express, or you get it 5 months later with the rest of the crowd. Next time, remember, we are a bi-weekly podcast, so next time on December 8th, or at least the weekend of December 8th, we will be reviewing three new films that Ralph is choosing. Do you remember what they were, Ralph?
Coco
is one of them. That's right. It's out this weekend now.
The Pixar Dia de los Muertos movie.
Right. I'm very excited about that because we are Mexican. We're big fans of Day of the Dead. So
not really. I am. For sure.
Oh, I thought you were.
And the other movie we are reviewing is The Disaster Artist.
Heard a lot of great things about this movie.
I think
James Franco is directing it.
I think it's one of those Franco brothers in there. Or maybe both.
They directed it and he's acted. He's Tom Wiseau.
Yeah, I think they're both in it, mm-hmm. right? And then the other movie that we're doing that I never heard about, but we're doing it. It is called The Niall Hilton Incident.
Which, every once in a while, we always pick a movie that no one's ever talked about or heard about in hopes that we find a gem in there. This is one of them. Because I've never heard about it. You never heard about it until you looked it up today. And choosing the three movies. And it's good to stay away from the crowd every once in a while. We're trying to be unique here a little bit.
He says that whenever I or Luke choose a movie like this.
I know.
Because he's usually the one who chooses them, and he doesn't pass.
No, I choose. No, we take turns. We take turns. No, this is better. I wish I came up with a movie. Well, I know you guys haven't heard of anything. So that's your problem. But I know what people have heard about and what people haven't. And I haven't heard about this movie. And it's great. I want to know nothing about it. That's called what? The Niall Hilton incident. Sounds like a period film. right? Probably.
Yeah. If I remember correctly. Cool. Yeah.
Just the title says it all, you know. So that is it for our show, and we're going to see you guys in 2 weeks. Until then, I am Oscar.
Ralph.
And, and Luke.
You third chair now, bitch.
Yeah, how's it feel?
After years of trying to get in here.
Oh, right, that's right. Yeah. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. What the hell was that?